Spread the truth. Document it. Prove it. Make it irrefutable, and you too will become dangerous to those who admire us in lies and enslave us in socialism.
But because they are lying, it's possible to expose them. And this is their Achilles heel. By comparison, we have nothing to hide, therefore we have no reason to lie. And we wouldn't want to, even if we could. Truth is a far superior weapon than deceit. It's a weapon which is denied to them. And in the end, it will be the decisive weapon that destroys them completely.
Fucking
all right, here we are, ladies and gentlemen. It is another Friday upon us here. It's March 15th. Hope you're doing well. It is the year 2024, if you can believe it. And we're going to continue today to cover some of the situation with all these arrests that's happening, with nationalists being jailed, people post memes, and they're being sentenced to prison time. It's crazy. We last week, of course, last Friday, we talked with Laura Towler, the wife of Sam Melia, who's being jailed over in the UK. There's tons of cases in the UK. I did a quick search to like try to kind of summarize just how many we were talking about just in the last couple of years now. And I just like, I couldn't believe it. People I've never even heard of, like that hasn't come my way. That's like imprisoned for wrong think and supposed hate speech and all these kinds of things. But anyway, we're going to focus on the situation in Belgium today because we just got the news here a few days ago. And I know the case has been going on for some time, but the sentencing came down here for Dries van Langenhove, who joins us from Belgium. How's it going, Dries? Good to see you again. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Henrik, and thank you for spreading awareness about my my case and my quite harsh sentence, as you mentioned.
We'll get into it here, obviously. I'm going to talk about how this unfolded and everything. But Laura, had you on, like back in 2018, we talked with you. You had just been over meeting with Orban. You were doing good. I think, were you with the Vlaams Belang at that time, or was it the youth branch of that?
No, not yet. I had my own separate youth movement, the biggest and most influential political youth movement in the country, which was already at that time quite aligned with Vlaams Belang. But it is the case now more so today. And I have always also since then joined federal parliament in Belgium. I got elected as the youngest member of Belgian parliament with a lot of votes. And so a lot of things have changed since then. My influence has grown, but the hatred from the regime towards me has also grown, sadly, because I've become an even bigger threat for them, especially now that I am also aligned with Vlaams Belang, the Flemish Interest Party, which is poised to be the victors in the coming elections, become the biggest party in Belgium, and possibly put the Belgian regime out of business.
Nice. Well, it's about time. And of course, that's the timing when they're like, sorry, you're out of politics for, was it 10 years?
Yes, exactly. So they sent me to jail for a year. They gave me an enormous fine of over 26,000 euros. But they also, and that is something that some media seem to be forgetting, they also took away my civil rights for 10 years, which in practical means that I will not, that I will be banned from political life for 10 years. So I will not be able to participate in elections. I will not be able to vote, work for the government, or participate in politics whatsoever. So that's also quite harsh. And it's the maximum sentence. So it's the maximum possible sentence that you can give someone. And they gave that to me to kind of knock me out of the political game. But I'm not going to let them win so easily.
No, exactly. And we'll get it. I have your little compilation there too, the memes and all that stuff we'll get into. I just want to mention real quick here too, what do we have? Here we go. The segment you will say the first hour. We're going to talk with Sam Parker in the second about some other stuff, the TikTok ban and things like that. But we're thankful that Dries is here joining us. Any super chats that come in will be donated to Dries and his Give Send Go campaign as well. By the way, last week we of course gave that money to Laura Towler and Sam Melia. You guys helped us raise. We ended up in one of the top donations over on Give Send Go, guys over there. So thank you so much, everyone out there in the Red Eyes audience, for helping out with that. So again, any donos and super chats that come in today will go directly to Dri, so he can help fight those legal fees. If you do want to join us on that, entropystream.live/redicetv. I'll keep an eye on these throughout the stream here as well. You can do it on Odyssey as a hyper chat or a Rumble Rants as well. So squeeze that in quick here. But so let's back up a little bit here then, Dri, because it's like, how did this happen? This is one of those, you know, the freeze frame happens. Like, yep, that's me. I find myself here now. Like, I'm about to go to jail for a year. Was this the you were part of a group chat? You were not even posting these memes yourself. That's what if I understand this correctly.
Yes, that's correct. Now my story goes back a long time, and I've been through more than you could possibly believe under this dictatorial Belgian regime. But my story starts about 8 or 9 years ago when I was a student representative at Ghent University. And that's when I launched or founded my first political youth movement called Schild en Vrienden, which became a huge success in no time. We gained about 1,000 members, which is really huge for a political movement in a small, tiny, perhaps even country like Belgium. And that's how we became a threat to the regime in a way, because we gained a lot of momentum, a lot of high potential young guys and girls who wanted to really change something in our country. And the regime saw that as a threat. Then they launched a campaign against us, journalists, police, the Justice Department, and they started digging in our group chats, Facebook group, Discord server, etc. And then eventually, after many years, because in the meanwhile, I also got into parliament and stuff like that. But after a few years and a huge investigation that cost the taxpayers multiple millions of euros, they found nothing more than a few silly memes. That's really it. That's really all they found. Out of hundreds, thousands of messages, photos, they did 20 house raids with members of Schild en Vrienden.
20 house raids?
I'm not exaggerating.
Holy
at
shit.
All. 20 house raids, over 50 interrogations. That's a 5 and a 0. 50 interrogations. They raided my house not once, not twice, but 3 separate times. The police raided my house. 2 of those times, they took everything. They took my computer, my smartphone, my files, every document, USB drive, every electronic device. They took everything. And the only thing that they could find were silly memes posted 7 years ago by other people in a private group chat. So
was it on Discord? Is that correct?
Yeah, it's a Facebook group and a Discord.
Okay,
server,
okay.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. And I'm sure they are happy to hand over that kind of stuff as well. But yeah, it's just, I mean, the scope of that is incredible. I guess maybe you're lucky they didn't plant anything. I mean, because it looks like that's what, you know, could happen very easily as well. They claim you have something. I think in Sam and Laura's case, she had a book written by Oswald Mosley, and they pinned that on Sam. You know, things like that. So it's not planting, I guess, but it's like saying, well, it's like yours, right? No, you're in the same group. You're associated with another person posting this. Therefore, you're to blame, right?
Well, that's kind of what they did with me. So they couldn't really find any evidence that I was an extremist or violent or that I committed any sort of crime. So they started kind of making stuff up. So other people posted offensive memes. Well, offensive, it's dark humor, it's memes.
Yeah.
Posted these in private group chats. And then the judge found me guilty. And he claimed, he argued that I should have done more to prevent others from posting memes that he himself labeled as hate speech. And hate speech in Belgium is a punishable offense, which it of course should not be. Only speech that incites the violence should be punishable, not hate speech. Since it's not illegal in Belgium to hate someone, but it is illegal in Belgium to incite to hatred, which is just wicked. It's juridical nonsense, but that's how it is in Belgium. And by those very fluent and flexible definitions, they can just find anyone guilty, because who is not in a group chat where some memes or jokes are being made? Who has never been in a pub or a locker room where some rude comments are made or some offensive jokes are made? So anyone can basically just be locked up in Belgium when they are opposing the regime. So that's quite harsh.
I mean, there's a number of things here, but just why don't we just for a moment discuss about what's happening to us and the reason why we find ourselves in this situation to begin with. That's of course because there's an active replacement campaign all throughout the Western world right now of making sure that we become a minority in our own countries. there's active campaigns in many specific cases in Belgium. No, I admit I'm not aware of it. Maybe you can make us aware of this. But I'm sure you have your academics over there as well. They're in the media. They talk about how white people are bad and Belgians are bad and colonialism, white supremacy, blah, blah, blah. And it's kind of justified to replace us. I mean, in America, in some cases in the UK, there's university professors just outright talking about how white DNA is evil. And in fact, we need to abolish the white race in these kinds of terms. Here we are basically venting a little bit of this anger, like, and trying to have some fun, essentially, while all this serious, horrible, genocidal type of rhetoric is going on against us and action is being taken against us. It's so bizarre that we find ourselves in this situation. And, you know, you could tell us a bit more of how that, what's going on in Belgium with that. But like, they're actively doing these things to us. And then we go on and like post, we can't even have fun about this stuff. And, yeah, and yet the actions against us are just 100 times worse.
The word you use is correct. It's very bizarre because, and you will find that video on my Twitter. I posted it today. You will find videos where the Belgian, sponsored by the state media, will portray me being shot by one of their left-wing professors in a very violent way. He's shooting with an automatic machine gun towards me and my family, and I'm all bleeding in this video. The same media that do that and that will say we have to eradicate whiteness, the same media that say that in our Flemish DNA there is racism encapsulated in our DNA, and then they say in the next sentence that we have to eradicate racism. Well, the logical conclusion is then that you have to eradicate the indigenous Flemish people. So the same people that constantly incite for violence. Yeah, that's
a video here, right? Yeah, we could play that while you talk about that. Yeah, so we can listen to the audio here too.
1.5 meter, bitch.
So the guy in the blue shirt is supposed to be me, and the guy in the white shirt is supposed to be a left-wing professor, kind of the Fauci of the Belgian media. He's a very left-wing professor, and the people in the background are supposed to be my family. So the media that make these videos and constantly incite for violence are turning the table and are saying that I am inciting for violence, with the only argument that they have that others posted offensive memes 7 years ago in a private group chat. So it's ludicrous. It's bizarre. It's absurd. But that is exactly what's happening in Belgium right now.
So it's as same as in every other Western country. It's exactly the same pattern everywhere. It's incredible. No, of course, it's not bad when they do it, you see, because they're protecting democracy or something. But obviously, I think what I feel a lot about this, too, is I think they know they're I'm not going to say we're winning, because we're not. They still hold all the power. They still are affecting or inflicting all these changes upon us, which is destroying our civilization and our societies. But the tide is turning, right? It's turning against them. And I feel that they know that on some level. They're, despite censorship, despite deplatforming, and now it's debanking, right? This is new from just a few years ago, really, 5-6 years ago or so. Despite all that, they're still losing control of the overall discourse in the information war, and they know that their time is kind of closing, and they're trying, therefore, make examples out of people by putting them in jail. They try to scare other people. They try to go after you for things, you know, here that happened many, many years ago, to try to, I think, keep you out of politics, to make sure that you can't run within the next 10 years. So I think they feel on some level that their time is up, and the system is certainly all spastic and freaking out right now. And in fact, that makes it more dangerous, right? It's just looking for anybody to blame for its own shortcomings and its own policies, all the things that it and they have done, holding the power over the last few decades now. I mean, you can go back to the 50s, I guess, 60s in some countries. But still, that's what I see when I say it's not a system that's secure in its position that's doing all of this, Dries.
No, that's very correct. The system and the regime is lashing out so harshly because they realize that their narrative is so weak. It's so built upon a heap of lies that it cannot withstand even the slightest dissidents. It cannot withstand even the slightest arguments of us, of the nationalists, of the right-wing people, because their narrative is so weak. It's based upon lies. When they claim diversity is our greatest strength, it just takes one guy or girl to stand up to that and to say, how is it our greatest strength when we see that diversity just destroys our neighborhoods, it destroys our cities, it destroys our trust in society. When they claim that beauty is subjective, that ugly things are also beauty, it just takes one person to say, no, this modern architecture or this modern art is just plain ugly, or this modern music, whatever modern you want to name. So that their narrative is so weak when they claim that a man that undergoes surgery is suddenly a woman. Everyone knows it's not true. So it only takes one person to have the courage and the guts to say, no, you are still a man, to just wipe their narrative off the table. And they know that. So they have to really shut everyone up. And then the people who stand up the first, people like me, to stand up for the truth, they have to really make an example out of us. And that's what they're doing in Belgium. They're not just using the law for what it was made. No, they are abusing the law to punish me as harshly as possible, to make an example out of me, so that every young woman or man in Belgium will realize that, oh, if I speak the truth, if I stand up to this fake narrative, then I will end up like Dries van Langenhove, then I will end up in jail, lose my civil rights, and have to pay up all the money that I've earned.
So I'm not sure. We had Philip de Winter on the show. This is quite a few years ago now. I'm not sure. Is he still the heading up the party? And have they gone after him in this capacity? Is there anyone else in Belgium before you, at least in this capacity, they've gone after? Or are you one of the first ones here?
Well, Philip de Winter is still a member of Vlaams Belang. He's still in parliament. He's still one of the figureheads of the Vlaams Belang party. And no, they haven't really gone after other people as much as they've gone after me. And I think the reason for that is that I'm not just strictly into party politics or parliamentary politics. I've really chosen a path of metapolitics. I've got my own media channel where I make daily videos that reach sometimes up to a million people in Flanders, which is like one in six people in Flanders. So that the amount of the reach I have is huge in Flanders. I've got a really big impact. I make those videos. I have my political youth movement called Schild en Vrienden. I also have a chain of boxing clubs where I really want to make the youth resilient mentally and physically. So I'm making an impact outside of the traditional party politics, the traditional parliamentary politics. And I think that the regime and the regime media see that as an even bigger threat, and that's why they are focusing on me so much, because I'm concurring with them on their own battleground. I'm making videos that get more views than a lot of the mainstream media videos and the mainstream media political talk shows. So yeah, they see me as a big threat for their own existence.
Politico here called you Belgium's far right prodigy, right? So that put you high up on the list there. Well, I think you are, though. I mean, again, you're you know, you have to look for it. You talk right. You present yourself well, and that's what's necessary in these kinds of in these situations. And as you said as well, activism above and beyond the political stuff, which is just, you know, it's an important component, but it's just one aspect of it. It's so much more that needs to change in our society. We can't just vote these or those guys in there, as you know. So it's much more about that. But you know, again, I feel it's really about like trying to shut things down now before it goes too far. But what's your strategy moving forward? I know you're going to appeal the decision of things. And of course, again, as I said, I mentioned again in case people are just tuning in, but any super chats today, so get your super chats in, guys. We'll get to some of those in a moment here. That's going to go to the Give, Send, Go that Dries has in order to help with his legal bills and fight back against this. But as I told Laura, I was like, what we need now is like 1,000 more people posting memes everywhere. Like, we need it is a step up even further and let the system take those continued steps. It's not initial steps now, continued steps in this direction where they clearly show everybody how insane they are, how out of bounds they are, how they're overreacting clearly to this kind of situation, because people are paying attention. They're beginning to notice. I mean, was it, not that that's, you know, everything, but, you know, Musk weighed in on your case as well, and it's spreading among some of these, like, kind of normie conservative circles throughout the West, everywhere. And so people are noticing. They're paying attention when these kinds of things happen.
Yes, I'm very thankful for all the influencers, all the content creators that spread my case internationally, and that will really make a difference, I think, in Belgium, because it puts pressure upon the public opinion. And there's actually there's been a kind of battle of attrition going on for about 6 or 7 years right now between me and the Belgian regime, and this battle of attrition is coming to its conclusion. And I'm either going to win or I'm going to lose. And the Belgian regime is, of course, very scared of losing, because up until now, they've used kind of all the means at their disposal. As I said, they've raided my house 3 times. They've written the most slanderous, outrageous things about me, lied about me in the most horrendous ways. They've targeted my family, my friends, everyone around me, my businesses. They've really tried everything at their disposal. And their last desperate attempt to shut me up is to literally throw me in jail, and possibly the thing after that would be to physically shut me up, if you know what I mean by that. And I don't think that eventually they will refrain from doing that. I think the regime is so desperate that they will do anything to shut me up, but I'm also going to do anything possible to keep continuing this work, because it's so very important, because the hope of a whole generation depends upon free speech in Flanders, in Europe, in America. It's so important that we can still use our voice. So I'm not just easily going to let myself be silenced. And what I've noticed is that throughout this battle of attrition, my reach has only grown. I'm now the second biggest in Belgium on TikTok. I'm the third biggest on Instagram. I am the biggest on YouTube. I am one of the biggest on Facebook. So my reach, and I'm by far the biggest, of course, on Telegram, but my reach is really huge. I really have an impact in Flanders. And when the biggest Belgian newspaper did a poll on the popularity of political figures right after a very slanderous documentary about me by the regime media, it turned out I was the second most popular political figure in the country. So nice. There really is hope. As long as I can keep continuing my work, there is hope. And the Belgian regime media know this. They know that if they lock me up in prison, then of course there will be some outrage. The public opinion will be outraged. People will possibly do huge demonstrations in the streets. But as happened in Spain when they locked a few of the Catalan politicians up in jail, there were mass demonstrations for a few weeks, but after that it will fade out. I'm not naive about that. I don't think the Belgian people are going to be knocking at the doors of the prison until I'm set free. So, and the Belgian regime knows this. So if they can put me into prison, probably my businesses will go bankrupt. I mean, they cannot sustain for years without my presence. I'm its main figurehead, so that will be very harsh for my activism, and other people will then see that and will be demoralized and demotivated to continue. So to answer your question, I'm going to return to it. As you can see, I've been a politician for 4 years, so my answers are always very, very lengthy, and I rarely get to the point, but I'm going to make the point. I am, of course, appealing this decision, and I'm hopeful, because the judge that took my case, this case, and that gave me this extremely harsh sentence for crimes that I, of course, did not commit at all, he was put there in an illegal way by the regime, and he is a judge of which even the media admit is a very left-wing judge. So he gave me a very harsh sentence. I am confident that there is a real possibility that I will be I don't know how to say it in English, but I will be that my whole all of the punishments will go away in the Court of Appeals, because the Court of Appeals is said to be more neutral, more serious. So I'm going to present my case there. I'm going to present the proof, and the proof is there that I did nothing wrong, absolutely nothing wrong.
If you didn't, let's say you didn't do that, for you, I'm just hypothetical here. When would your prison sentence begin? Is that set yet, or are they waiting for you to, if you want to appeal or not, or what's going on with that?
Well, after the sentence, you have 1 month to take appeal, and if not, then I would have to present myself after 30 days. But I've already appealed, so my prison sentence is right now, and also the fines are on hold right now until the verdict of the Court of Appeals, and that will probably take place either the beginning of summer or after the summer break, in maybe end of September, beginning of October, possibly even November, depending on how much delay the court case will have. But this year we will know if I will have to go to prison or not.
Yeah, you know, as you're doing, capitalize on this, get it out there. You know, so you use this. Let's use the when they try to, you know, stomp on us, basically the system, the regime, using that as much to our advantage as possible. And again, I don't think any of these things will be deterrent, because again, going back to the point you mentioned before, it's not just, well, there's multiple things, but first of all, this is an existential battle for us. Like I've heard other commentators say, like, we're not gonna give up and walk away. Like this is it. Like you have to. It was a great line by was it Michael O'Keefe over in Ireland, right? He does great work, just spreading all these videos about how crazy it is right now with the invasion into Ireland. And he's just like, "You're gonna have to kill us." It's like, yeah, well, that's what it is. You know what I mean? No one has given up. This is not a deterrent in any kind of capacity. I think more people will begin to coming to our side. And again, in fact, what we need is an army of Drises out there who will fight back. And it's not only that it's your case. You see, you mentioned that maybe they won't be out on the streets just for you, but it's not just your case. There's so many other things where people are discontent and fed up with everything. Look, it's just a situation with the farming insanity throughout much of Central and Northwestern Europe right now as well. Germany and France, the farmers are protesting this green transition stuff. It's inflation, the energy situation, immigration is out of control. It's multiple things that's converging. And altogether, that paints a picture of, like, people are ready, I think, to go out with, like, pitchforks and torches and, like, stand in front of these government buildings and say, you better leave now, or, like, we'll take care of this in some kind of... It feels like it's that close. What's your sense of things in Belgium? I mean, you have the seat, of course, of the EU there as well in Brussels, and it feels like it's, you know, we don't have to get into a whole historical spiel here of why they chose to put it there, but let's just be honest, the country's kind of divided, right, in a sense, both in terms of language and districts and these kinds of things, and it felt like Brussels was a good spot for them, you know what I mean? They kind of protected that in a sense. But the EU politicians is one thing to the side. Then, of course, you have your national politicians there, and then the local ones that are out of control as well. But is it? I would assume similar in Belgium as it is in so many other European countries now, with all these things I mentioned.
It is, yes, and the people truly are fed up with it. Now, the shame is that the Belgian people, especially the Flemish, aren't really a people of revolting. We're more of a calm, modest, pacifist people. There's also not really a lot of extremists. There's not really a far right or a far left in Flanders. We're a very modest and calm people, and that goes against us right now, because our politicians are corrupting our country, are flooding it with immigrants, are really abusing their power against people like me. So that's a shame. But people are going to vote more right wing than ever in Belgium. As I said, the Flemish Interest Party is poised to win the elections by a huge margin, probably getting more than 30% of the votes, which is historic. And then the second biggest party will be the Moderate Nationalist N-VA party, and they both together will have a majority in parliament and possibly even make Flanders an independent state. So then all of a sudden, the center of Europe, where Brussels lies in the middle of Flanders, will become one of the most right-wing places in Europe, will separate from Belgium, and will possibly light the flame of nationalism throughout Europe, starting in Brussels, starting in Flanders. So I'm quite hopeful when it comes to that. And those elections are coming the 9th of June.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it's a lot like the Swedes too. You're tolerant to a fault, where we're just detrimental and passive. Until we're not, though. I still feel that until we're not. And once that changes, once it becomes even socially acceptable to fight back or to be on our side, when it's realized that the moral thing to do now is to stand up for us and our own people in this kind of capacity, the way that many of our own people have worked against us for such a long time, right? When that happens, I think it could move fairly quickly in these countries. I'm not trying to say that this will be easy in any kind of capacity. I think, again, the system will do anything it needs to do, and that it's going to try everything to maintain power. It's going to claim, you know, we got to basically look at Germany, right? We have to protect democracy. Let's outlaw parties that are not growing in popularity. Like, they have nothing else to do. But it'll become more and more obvious. At the end of the day, it's what I feel anyway. It's down to the people. And when the people finally said, you know what, we've had enough, and they put their foot down, anything could change, and it could change drastically, Dries. What's your sense of that?
I completely agree. Once we realize once again who we are and what we are capable of, I think everything is possible. And that's why I'm hopeful for the future. Possibly we can solve things through the parliaments, through the political way, by elections, by politicians who will implement the correct laws. Because, of course, the replacement of Europeans has been the result of political policies and that is negative in a way, because it means that our politicians have betrayed us. They are implementing policies that are clearly detrimental for the future of Europe. But it's also positive in a way, because if we got into this situation by policies, by political policies, then that means we can also get out of this situation, reverse the situation by implementing different policies. So I'm hopeful when it comes to that. And especially in Flanders in the coming elections, we will have a realistic chance of getting true change by politics. I'm very well connected in Vlaams Belang, and I'm very hopeful that they will be able to change things. But even if that is not an option, even if the demographic transition, as we have to call it in a politically correct way, even if that continues and we will possibly not get into power in politics, then still I think that we will eventually win. I'm certain of it. Even if it takes us through a period of multiple hundreds of years, through a dark period, I think that eventually we'll come out on top, we'll win. We are going nowhere. In Flanders, we have a saying, exactly. As long as one Flemish person lives, then we have a future, then we will win. And I'm a true believer in that.
I agree, 100%. And we have to believe that. We have to have that mindset. We can't falter on this. We can't waver. There's no second guessing ourselves here. You have to have that strong will and determination and discipline to focus on these things. Hey, we're close. I mean, yes, it's getting worse and worse, but we're closer now to getting a breakthrough than we've ever been over the last, since this latest version of this crazy madness begun, I don't know, 5-6 decades ago or so, maybe more, depends on where you set the starting point. But we're so close, and it feels like it's right there. The discontent and the mass revolt of people is right there. So luckily, in a way, they're doing a lot of the heavy lifting for us by just continuing to accelerate, right? If they pulled back a little bit, if they kind of, all right, let's kind of slow down migration a little bit, let's try to just integrate our people that are here now and stuff in a way that's maybe would even be worse, to be honest. Like, luckily of sorts, now they're just creating like hostile enclaves inside of our countries. And I've been through Belgium. I know how bad it is there. I went through Antwerp. We went to Brussels. We went to, there was a couple of other areas we went through. I mean, Antwerp was just a shock. I mean, it's bad in Sweden too, but it's just like, what the hell? And these amazing, amazing, beautiful buildings, you know what I mean? And then just a people that are there, they're not, you know, it's like when you walk into some, like, you know, the Great Pyramids or whatever, now there's some like native tribe living amongst them, and they don't know, oh, we didn't build this, we don't know, but it's here. That's what it felt like.
Yes, many of our cities are completely replaced. In Antwerp, a Flemish city, we are already a minority. And in Brussels, in most Brussels communities, only about 1 in 5 is native Belgian. So our cities have really been taken away. But the hopeful thing is that a lot of people who visit these cities for work or for whatever reason, they see what this diversity is, our greatest strength, what this does in reality, and they want to move as far away from it as possible. And they are voting now for politicians that promise to do something about it, promise to close our borders, to stop this massive migration. And I'm hopeful that will lead to change, yes.
Exactly. Now, I want to take some of these super chats here, too, because we got quite a few. So thank you, guys. And again, for newcomers joining us, anything we make here while we have Dries with us, we'll go to his gives and go. So let's start here. Michael De Bruyne, maybe? De Bruyne, if I pronounce that correctly. Belgian here, is that?
De Bruyne.
De Bene?
De Bruyne.
De Bruyne, there you go. Okay, thank you for the pronunciation. Belgian here, it says, I want to create a website to defund the media here. I assume this is a question for you, Dundris. If I set up a website with a list of lies from the media where you can sign up to defund them, do you think that will do anything, or is it futile? How would you go about it?
Well, I think that a website that that summarizes some of the more harsh lies by the media would be great. And we could link to that website every time a journalist claims that he still has some credibility left. I myself wrote a book. I didn't publish it yet, but I wrote a book of more than 400 pages with all kinds of lies about me, how journalists have been trying to destroy my life, to destroy my family and the people around me. And it would be great that if someone would summarize other lies about other subjects on a website as well, because we have a lot of subsidized by taxpayers fact checkers in Belgium, but we have none on our own site. So that would be great. Yeah,
I agree. Catalog. Make lists, keep track of these people, make sure, you know, they keep a chronology of what they've done towards whom. That's what they do with us all the time. They keep on their lists and stuff. Exactly. I 100% agree.
Perhaps even.
Yeah, go ahead.
Perhaps even per journalist, because
absolutely.
I get called by journalists all the time, especially in a week like this. My phone has been ringing nonstop. But I make a list of these journalists and the articles that they write about me. And of course, I mean, all journalists in Belgium are paid by the regime. Even the private media get hundreds of millions of euros in subsidies. So even the so-called private media in Belgium are in fact just regime media.
They absolutely.
Are paid for and bought for by the regime. And that is the case in a lot of Europe, by the way. But I keep track of these journalists and what they write about me. And of course, if they write negatively about me, I'll still pick up the phone. I will still answer them because, I mean, I know that they're going to write negatively. But if they attack my family, if they write like really slanderous lies about me, then they just come on the block list and I'm not answering any of their calls. And it would be great if we could keep track of that on a public website so that I can share this list with other people that might sometimes get calls or questions from journalists. They can just type in the name or the medium and see what they've been up to lately and then decide if they want to answer questions or not. That would be great.
Let them know that there might be consequences one day. Remember their names. Dog Whistler says, must be wild that even mainstream people like Joe Rogan, of all people, is talking at length of your case on his podcast. Oh, was he? Good. Yeah, I didn't catch that one.
He sure was. Okay. He sure was.
Right. Yep, that's it. That's awesome. Get it out there as much as possible. People need to wake up and look, maybe those people won't be going to jail for something or whatever, and you know you can have your critique of them, but as long as they're spreading the word and getting that out and making people out there understand that they could, reasonably, they could come from anybody. We didn't address it, but when you brought up the hate speech, you know, charges and stuff, it's like, wait a minute. I mean, it's so obvious, right? But like, they're literally trying to outlaw a human emotion. You are not allowed to feel certain things about certain issues or we'll ban you. What's next? What human emotions are going to ban next? It's so absurd.
Yeah, and I was very happy with all the awareness that was spread by people like Elon Musk, Eva Vlaardingerbroek, Tim Pool, and a lot of other people who shared my case, because that really puts pressure on Belgium, because the Belgian regime media have created this horrendous, outrageous image of me, and they are now very angry that this image is being shattered by this international attention, and their biggest nightmare is for me to really get my voice out there to really be able to spread the truth. So
exactly.
This international attention is very important.
And there's
that.
No winning for them. If they attack you, you win, right? And if they don't attack you, you can continue to spread your message unabated. Whatever they do, they're not going to win. Yeah, here's one of those headlines, right? The translation is a bit wonky here, but like, you know, blonde and far right. Elon Musk supports Dries van Langenhove through these influencers. And he brings up Eva and what is the other one? Maya or something, her other name there. But anyway, they're like, they're big mad about this. People are supporting.
Yeah, they are very angry. And the thing is, of course, they're big hypocrites. But the way they talk about these women that support me is so denigrating, so misogynistic in the truest sense of the word. If we make a joke about women, we're literally being sent to jail. But they can write the most slanderous, harsh things about these right-wing conservative women without any consequences, of course.
That's right. Cuckfrisone says, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm very glad with the support of Elon Musk, but I would, if by any chance he would be watching this show, I would really ask him to lift my shadow ban. For many years now, long before, by the way, Elon Musk took over Twitter and renamed it X, I've been shadow banned for so many years. If you search for my name, you will not find my account. If you go to my account, you will just see this contains what sensitive content, and then people cannot see my post. So most Twitter users can never see my post. My reach is so small compared to what it should be. Please lift my shadow ban. Let us at least use our voice.
I noticed that I was going to at you in the post I made about the upcoming show. You didn't even show up. I can spell out exactly your name, but they didn't even show up there. It's amazing. But yeah, we have almost 1,000 people watching just on X or Twitter alone. I say this about Musk. Like, look, if it's true that he's one of the wealthiest men in the world, he should give you 50,000 euros right now. What's the big deal? I'm serious. Like, what's the big deal, buddy? Like, help out. We need people with resources and means, high IQ people. We need people who know how to do stuff. They're educated, they can form institutions. And if they can't do that, help the people who do. That's really what we need moving forward.
Yeah, because the things he says on a daily basis, especially in the last year, that's what I've been fighting for, and many other activists in Europe have been fighting for many years, with grave consequences for ourselves and our families. And then I see Elon Musk tweeting about it daily, and I think, well, if you could just lift my shadow ban, then I could do the work you're asking people to do.
Exactly.
It can be that simple. So
that, he was banned. He's being shadow banned on his own platform. Did you see that? Like his own thing he replied to was like, this has been hidden for say sensitive reasons or something. Anyway, go on.
It's so crazy. It would make a huge difference to really be able to use my voice. On TikTok and Instagram, it's the same. I mean, I upload videos and they still go viral. As I said, I've got a huge reach, but oftentimes they get censored. It's very frustrating to have to work in this way. And I was very hopeful when Elon Musk took over X more than like 1.5 years ago. By now, I was very hopeful that my shadow ban would be lifted, but up until this day, it has not yet been lifted. And I'm in a hopeful expectation that it will be lifted soon.
Very good. All right, we got to get to the super chats here before we let you go as well. And again, newcomers, anything that we get in here through the super chats, when we have Dris with us, we'll go to his gifts and go for the legal fees. So thank you, guys. We have Cuck Free Zone here. They accuse you of the things they're actually doing. That's right. Their accusations are admissions. I like that one. Dog Whistler says, grew up as an American with motto, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words can never harm me. But today, Brookings Institute, think tank to our government and civic leaders, publishes papers that say memes are shaping democracy in harmful ideologies and disinformation. We didn't even really talk about the memes or whatever, but like, they're funny. I mean, this is, as I said, this is, where is it? There it is, right? These are funny. If you hold a black baby to your ear, you can hear police sirens. The Ferrero Rocher, I'm not even sure how to pronounce that, the candy, is that Italian or French, that candy? Or is it Belgian, maybe? Maybe it is Belgian, candy.
It's Italian.
Italian, there you go. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's, these are great. You can't be racist if there's only one race. I mean, how many memes were in there? Like, 5,000, maybe? Or what? Like, what, on your channel?
No, it was way less. As I said, I mean, sharing memes was not the purpose of Schild en Vrienden.
Of course not.
What we did was great. We donated blood. We cleaned up litter. We made food packages for poor people. We helped homeless. Yeah. We did sporting sessions. We did a lot of great, great work. We took a lot of young people in Flanders who were frustrated, rightfully so, about the political situation, who had a lot of negative energy, and we turned this into positive engagement. And the Belgian media really tried to destroy that by claiming we are some hateful group of extremists, which we are not at all.
Yeah, it's there. They are the extremists. You're going to replace your own population? I don't know. Call me crazy, but that's kind of extreme, to be honest. Cuck Free Zone, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Says, donation for Langenhove. Very good. Thank you. Dog Whistler says, thumbs up to Cuck Free Zone. I saw Give, Send, Go to Hell, Flanders Censors, and Belgium Globalists. Donate for Langenhove. I think I got that right. Anyway, thank you, Dog Whistler. Appreciate that. Miguel again here says, why is Sam Van Rooy such a staunch defender of the Israel's current war and Jews even before the war in general? Does he have no clue about them, or what's up with that? He asks you. What's your take on that?
Well, on the Flemish right, we have our struggle for independence in Flanders. We want to help the indigenous people in Flanders. We want to stop migration. But apart from that, everyone can have his own opinion on geopolitical matters, on perhaps the Ukraine-Russia war, perhaps Israel-Gaza conflict. My view upon that, for example, is that I think Israel at this point in time is committing a genocide. Creating a lot of unnecessary civil casualties, is creating a lot of suffering. But other people in the Flemish right wing see it in another way and see it as Israel defending itself. And I think it's their right to make that decision. I think we should unite over what we agree upon instead of letting petty differences among nationalists divide us in a time when unison, when cooperation is so important.
It's a generational thing a little bit too. We'll talk more about Sam joining us in the second hour about that. It's younger people, older generations are kind of set in their ways when it comes to Israel, and the younger generation, for the most part, is definitely looking at it a different way. Anyway, let me finish up on these here. The Boo Man says the FAA would like to remind everyone that despite recent headlines, flying is still the safest mode of transportation, unless, of course, you're in a Boeing. Yeah, that's right. They're falling out of the sky now because of diversity. The Boo Man again says despite being a shithole country, a trip to Haiti still costs an arm and a leg. I see what you did there. Nice, sir. Thank you for the support. Beetlejuice says, go ahead.
I wrote a tweet about that. Like, you see, in Haiti right now, they've always been calling for decolonization, and it's there right now.
Now they have it. Yeah, exactly.
You have a complete lack of government services, clean drinking water, electricity, safety. You have cannibalism. So the decolonization is finally complete. This has been the dream of so many leftists. So I suggest they go to Haiti and enjoy the decolonization process.
Exactly. They can go there, and then all the people in Haiti is going to fly to the flee to the oppressors' countries.
In all seriousness, I think this is a horrible, of course, for the people in Haiti, and I hope that the country will be turned around soon.
Yes, indeed. Beetlejuice says it's an international battle, Davy versus Goliath, but the enemy know that our greatest strength is our ability to spread the truth. That is why they fight against freedom of speech. Yeah, I mean, it begins there. It doesn't, of course, end with that. But if you can't get talk about the problem and diagnose them and spread the awareness of them, we do have nothing. But even if they shut all the internet communications down, at some point people are just going to be out there and talking with each other. And that you at this point, at least, you can't shut that down yet. All right, we got a couple more here. AIM316, thank you, sir. Good to see you. Thank you for the big dono there as well. Happy Friday. It's a travesty that so many people are being persecuted for just sharing their opinions. I'm happy to support the real patriots standing up for their beliefs. Thank you, sir. Indeed. Appreciate that. This is over on Rumble here. We have RHA42A says a little bit towards the fight. Thank you. Appreciate it. And also Joseph P59 Rumble says, yes. Thank you for those donos, guys. Then we have Odyssey over here, and it's refreshing, so that'll be hard to see. North Fork. Very frustrating, but here's to the truth and justice finally being served in this case. A big donor from North Fork as well. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Again, all of this will go to Dries here after the show is down. We'll donate this amount that we get in through the first hour right back to his Give, Send, Go. So thank you, guys. We have Ryan Triple G as well. Thank you, sir. Says, our patience has its limits. Well, that's just it. I mean, eventually it will run out. I know where that's quote from, but that's good. Thank you, Ryan. Real Ubermensch says the justice system cries out as it strikes Dries. That's right. I mean, that's really what it's about, isn't it? It really knows no other way of doing it. And it's charging you for things, really, that they have been doing. And the harm and the damage. Look at the media, the way they're, complaining on people, the way that they're dividing people and all this stuff, right? Are you still with us, Dries? You still there?
Yes, I've got... The image has been gone. I'll just continue.
Yeah, that's fine. While
the image. But I've got a good anecdote about that. The justice system indeed strikes out as it cries about you. What happened to me is that the opposing party in court right now is Henri Hermans, who is a ex magistrate. He was the head of the court in Ghent, the court where my case is right now being tried, and he is against me. He filed complaints against me. So the former boss of the judge that convicted me now is my opposing party in the court case. So that would not stand in any court. I think even in Africa, people would say this is unjust, this is not right. Even in dictatorships, they would not go as far as to propose such a travesty of justice. But that's what's happening in Belgium. So this judge, this ex-judge, I mean, the head of the court, he's he's retired right now, but he is filing all these complaints against me. Meanwhile, he says he's hurt by my memes, but he's trying to destroy my life through lawfare. So yes, he cries out as he strikes me.
That's right. Maybe next time, says Hail Dries. Indeed, Night Nation Review, good to see you as well, sir, says they are taking the Saul Alinsky tactic of accusing the opposition of which you are guilty, exactly, mimicked by another one over on Entropy, right? But they're taking that to a whole new level here. They absolutely are. It is crazy. Der Schurusker says, it's despicable to be arrested for posting memes, stickers, or owning certain books, etc. Think 1,000 times before taking a decision, but after taking decision, never turn back, even if you get 1,000 difficulties. That's right, a good quote there. Dries, I wanted to ask you about that too. Is it, how do I phrase this? And I saw it because I saw some comment, people shouldn't, shit post or, have found now and stuff like that, because, this was hard to know maybe a few years ago, but now they're starting to go after people in this kind of capacity. Do people need to show more discipline, maybe? More just knowing the fact that this is now what they'll use against us? I know that the goalposts will keep moving, though. So no matter what we do or how well-behaved we are, they will still find something, criminal about it. But what's your feeling about what people should do moving forward about this?
Well, as you said, the goalposts are going to keep moving, and if they want to persecute you and prosecute you, they will. If you see in my case that they are sending me to jail for memes that I didn't even post myself, other people posted them, then they can in reality just do anything they please. But a lot has changed since 2017 when this case started. In 2017, a lot of the boomers that still hold office in the Justice Department, in the media, in politics, they had never really heard about memes back in those days. So when they first saw memes, they were possibly a little bit shocked about these memes. But nowadays, everyone has seen these memes. I mean, a very high-placed political figure in Belgium who does not belong to a nationalist party, he wrote kind of a hard judgment on me when these memes first surfaced 7 years ago. But then 2 years later, I met him in the town where he is the mayor. And he admitted to me that he had since gotten a smartphone. And he said, well, look here, Dries, in these chats in which I am added, the same memes are circulating. And I as you see, and he was a bit angry, he said, I can't even delete them from my phone. So even those boomers who are not very fluent with digital means, they now realize that these memes are just everywhere and that these memes are the same jokes that were being made in the playground or in the pub or in the locker room back in those days.
Exactly.
Also, investigation by the Dutch public television found that 56% of the Dutch youth, the youth in Holland, in the Netherlands, has memes on their smartphone that depict Hitler. So these memes are just everywhere. What are they going to do? Lock up 56% youth in the Netherlands?
Exactly. I know. That's just it. It's so absurd. Some of them chuckled too, probably, when they saw something. They're hilarious. It's funny. Everyone thinks it's funny. Avalon 58 says, or 88 says, happy birthday, Lana. That's right. It was her birthday yesterday. Congratulations, baby. I hope you had a great birthday. Hail to our folk. I know you did because I spent it with you. Hail our folk. Keep our white warriors off the Jew jails. North Fork. We did that one. Thank you, North Fork, again for that. I appreciate that. What is this one here? We got a real Uber mention. We did that one. Night Nation Review again says they attempt to police our emotions because it's the closest they can get to policing our thoughts. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, they're working on the tech apparently for influencing thoughts right now. Magnetic fields and pills. We can change their attitudes towards God and migrants, right? Wasn't that one of the headlines from Telegraph? A couple of more here. We're going to let you go in a moment here, Dries, too. BMC 1488 says, Hail Dries, a great representative of our people. Indeed, we have also Avalon 88 again. A leftist should fly on Boeing planes to Haiti. There you go. Great combo there. I appreciate that. Optics Prime says, would Dries be banned if the USA buys and owns TikTok? Yeah, so we're going to talk more with Sam here. I'd say he's in the call. We'll bring on Sam also in a moment here. Yeah, I'm surprised you're on TikTok. I'm surprised you're even on YouTube, actually. It's great that you are. But I'm surprised they just didn't kick you off there yet. But if you go viral occasionally on TikTok, do you think that would change if it's banned? Or I would assume U.S. law and them changing anything wouldn't change anything in Belgium, I assume?
Well, my time on YouTube is running out, I think. I've been recently been demonetized. I've got a few strikes, so I don't think my time there will last much longer. And on TikTok, I'm not sure. I mean, the Chinese have different standards of freedom of expression, and they have different topics that are sensitive to them. For example, if I post anything on TikTok related to gender ideology, it will immediately be censored on TikTok, because I think the Chinese are very fond of gender ideology in the West, because it of course weakens us enormously. So you have to know what to post where and how to not cross certain lines or on certain platforms. So, and I've gotten quite good at that over the past few years. But that is also what I think has gotten me this harsh verdict by the judge, because they see that the standard self-censorship, which works for most people. I mean, 98% of people in Europe are self-censoring themselves. That works for most people, but it doesn't work for me. Then they try to implement social media censorship. They will kick you off. They will give you bans. That also didn't really work for me, because I started using alternative social media. I started thinking very clearly what to post where, what to say where. So that also didn't work. And then they will go to the third most harsh form of censorship, and that is to just physically shut you up by putting you in jail or by giving you fines that are so high that you will go bankrupt if you speak up. So that's the third and final form, and I'm trying to combat that right now, this final phase of the battle of attrition. And we'll see this year whether I come out as the victor or not.
Indeed. We got three more here, and then we'll change the lineup here and we'll let the days go. Lars Agerbeck with an ass, as there's a similar case with the world-famous artist Uwe Max Jensen. He's accused of creating and spreading memes showing a Danish, within triple parentheses, journalist holding a Muhammad drawing. Uwe was convicted but has now appealed to the district court. See, another case that went under my radar. Have you heard about that one? It is?
No, I haven't.
I'll look into Uwe Jensen. I've actually not.
Well, I got it. Sorry for interrupting you. But I've been quite frustrated about this in the past few years, because very often in Europe, nationalists know very well what's happening in America, and they sometimes know what's happening in England, but they very often don't know what's happening in their neighboring countries in Europe.
Exactly. Yes.
Which is why I got together with Martin Zellner and a lot of other nationalist movements from Europe, and we created Action Radar Europe, which you can follow on Telegram and on X, to kind of get European nationalists more together, so that we know what's happening in the countries around us. And it's through these networks that I know that over the past few days, about 16 French nationalists of the former Génération Identitaire have been arrested, some of them been locked up, and they have to go to trial soon. So it's these networks have to be created very much more strongly, because we have to work together in Europe and not always look to the other side of the ocean.
And the language barrier is changing now as well with the younger generations, which is good. I mean, lingua franca, ironically, I guess, is English for the most part anyway, but it's changing. Glenn de Chinaman, good to see you as well, sir. Thank you for the dono. We should always keep one foot in politics, no matter how rotten or subverted it is. I agree. We have to. It sucks. And not everyone is equipped for it, but again, like, this certainly is. Thank you, Glenn de Chinaman. And these two here, to round us off here, we have, let me see here, who do we have? We have H.B. Lovecraft for the fundraiser. Thank you. Awesome. Resin Revoltage as well. Thank you, sir. Next week, by the way, Resin, with Lana, we'll show the gifts you gave us and say thank you properly for those. But thank you. Good to see you, sir. He says, excellent chat. Will this buy old mate a Dutch beer? LOL. Great work, you guys. Having a Dutch beer, is that offensive? You have a Belgian beer, I assume.
The Belgian beer is superior to
there
Dutch
we go,
beer.
Exactly. Yeah. Of course it is. Awesome. Thank you, Resin. And another big one actually from Resin Revolt as well. Happy birthday, Lana. All champagne is sparkling, but not all that sparkles is champagne. Now, that is true. Have a glass of this on me. May you and yours be blessed as always. Thank you, Resin. I appreciate that. One of our executive producers. And I think we're... So, I kind of tally up here a little bit what we got, but thank you, guys. We're going to get this over to... This is Give, Send, Go. And here's the direct URL, guys, if you want that as well. givesendgo.com/ Steendries. How do I pronounce the first part of that? Steendries?
Steendries.
Steendries. Now, that's spelled S-T-E U-N and then Dries, D-R-I-E-S.
Or they can just go to my X profile and it's linked in my bio.
There you go. Easy enough, right? But anyway, we'll get, what do we have here? We got 200 something over there. We got two, almost three there. Five, maybe $600 coming your way after the show here. So thank you, Red Eyes audience out there. We're going to get this over to Dries and help him with the legal bills. Any closing words, Dries, before we let you go?
Well, a big thank you to everyone who supported, also to everyone who watches and who shares these videos, because even if you cannot support financially, it's very important to get this message out there, share this video, send it to your friends, and make sure that they also do their part. Thank you all.
Say hi to Sam Parker, too. Sam, join us in the call real quick if you just want to say hi to Dries here as well. He ran for U.S. Senate in Utah, I think it was. It was Utah. You there, Sam?
It was. I'm here. Can you hear me?
We can. Good to hear your voice. Say hi to Dries before we let him go.
Yeah, Dries, it's good luck over there. We're watching and we're appreciative of you fighting the fight over on that side of the pond, man.
Thank you very much. I've been following you for a while also. So keep up the good work, guys.
Thank you so much. All right, Dries, we'll let you go. Man. Keep us updated. We'll have you back again in the future. And good luck with your case.
Thank you. Bye bye.
All right. Bye bye. Take care. Thank you again. All right, awesome. Sam, how's it going? Good to have you back.
Good, yeah. Thanks for having me back. Let me see if I can get this camera figured out.
Just maybe unmute it sometimes.
There we are.
We got you.
There we go.
I got to change. We got your lower third in there. Good to see you, man. Yeah, good. Thank you for coming back. I know we're going to talk about the TikTok thing, but I know you've been watching the craziness when it comes to just targeting all these nationalists now in European countries. And I didn't do it with this on, but I did a quick list, right, to just see some of the latest. James Costello, this is the UK, James Costello, James Alchurch, he went by Sven Longshanks, Jess Turner, which is the guy who I forgot the name of many times. It's like, I know there's another guy, I forget his name now. This is like 2018, I think. He was not put in jail, but the case was brought up then, I think, or something like that. Alison Chablas, remember she did like piano songs about like Israelis and stuff. She's in jail. Austria, of course, as he said before, the days we had... I don't think he did. He go to jail, Martin Sellner. I forget if he actually went to jail or not. But regardless, they're targeting him, right? Legally,
right?
Manuel Eder, one of the latest ones, the nationalist Manuel Eder, was sentenced to an unconditional prison sentence of 9 years at the Innsbruck Regional Court. According to the ruling, things such as owning books and singing in non-conformist bands are particularly dangerous. The Republic of Austria is one of the most repressive states in Europe. Now that's up in the air. Every one of them is, right? The fight for freedom of expression continues. Just heard about that like 2 days ago. Manuel Eder. And some of these people, you know, you miss them because there's so many. The U.S., of course.
And the other thing is it's happening over there. It's not happening here. You know, in the U.S. media, of course, we know who controls the U.S. media. So they don't tell us about these things. We have to remain plugged in through alternative media sources and stay on top of this. Otherwise, we'll never hear about these things.
No, exactly. I know. Oh my God, it's so insane. We have Douglas Massey. He was sentenced, wasn't he? 7 months, I think he got in prison for the Hillary voting meme.
Did you? I forgot about that. Yeah, wow.
I think. Let me see if I can find something about that. But I just saw like a screenshot of a tweet on Telegram, and I'm just like, wait a minute, did he get 7 months? Let's see if I can find something. Was it Douglas? It was Douglas Massey, wasn't it? Shit, maybe I'm getting maybe chat can remind me of the exact name there. But anyway, yeah, Doug Massey, he did the Hillary Clinton voting thing. Rob Rondo, right, he was reprisoned, and then you have Thomas Rousseau grafting illegally. In Australia, I have people like Thomas Sewell they're going after. Blair Cottrell spent some time in prison. Maybe it was not over nationalist issues, though, but regardless, they're targeting people.
Well, you know, they probably are gunning for Keith Woods, let's be honest. Keith Woods is the great white whale for them, I would expect.
Yeah, right, exactly. Now, you know? And things are changing.
He's got to be careful. He's very shrewd. He's very clever. He's very careful with how he tweets and with how he posts on YouTube and across social media. But you know they're watching him like a hawk, too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, 100%. So, how you been since we last talked? By the way,
well, it's been a wild few months, hasn't it, Henrik? You know, it started out with the ban, the ADL, and little did we know that wasn't the crescendo or the apex. That was
exactly.
just the beginning, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was like literally like a week after the whole October 7th thing happened.
It was. I mean, we had ban the ADL. It launched on August 31st, and it bled, you know, into the first few weeks of September.
Yep.
And, you know, maybe it was sort of dying down a little bit going into early October, but it was still a relevant topic that we were tweeting about and talking about. And then all of a sudden, boom, October 7th. And really, that was just ban the ADL, of course, times a thousand.
Exactly. And, I mean, crazy.
And that leads directly into what we'll be talking about today. Of course, I'm not trying to get ahead of ourselves, but that topic just, it won't go away. It won't go away.
No.
And it's too bad we weren't successful back in September, you know.
Yeah.
But it seems that work, you know, I don't know the value of that work now. We've moved past it, and we're in a worse spot now than we were before, I think.
And at the same time, it's so obvious that the narrative is changing and shifting, and younger generations are mostly coming to our side. And yes, in some cases, maybe for the wrong reasons, but you know, whatever. At least it's the cursor is moving and things are changing. And again, it ties right into this TikTok thing where, you know, leaked audios now. This is actually from a few months ago, and we played it at that time when Jonathan Greenblatt was saying basically like, red alert, we need to do something now about TikTok. Right. We're losing the younger generations. They're not buying all our bullshit anymore, essentially.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's interesting because TikTok, you know, the more I'm learning about TikTok, the more, you know, is there social engineering on TikTok? Probably. Is there censorship on TikTok? Absolutely. But they don't, the people who control the social media censorship landscape in the United States don't directly control the censorship on TikTok yet. And now TikTok's played ball. And I think that one of the reasons why TikTok has sort of played ball with the censorship industry is because they've been trying to avoid what's happening right now, a takeover, a hostile takeover, which is what's happening now. They've censored up till now, but it's not enough. They're not censoring aggressively enough. And so now, you know, the Zionist occupied media is just going for all of it and said, okay, you know, you had your shot. We're going to take you now, or we're going to cancel you. It's wild if you think about it.
Here's one clip. Let's play this.
But we need to talk about TikTok. TikTok, if you will, it is the 24/7 news channel of so many of our young people, and it's like Al Jazeera on steroids, amplifying and intensifying the anti-Semitism and the anti-Zion with no repercussions.
No, that's it. No repercussion. We need punishments for this, Sam, essentially.
Punishments for saying things that I don't like.
Yes.
For things that are unpopular to my agenda. We have to punish it. We have to cancel it. We have to nuke it.
Right? Oh, that's my gosh.
You know, it's ridiculous. And he threw out Al Jazeera. And I'll tell you one thing. You know, it's interesting that he brings up Al Jazeera because, again, here we have another network that's not controlled by the Zionists, right? Or the Zionist occupied media. And honestly, I had never watched Al Jazeera much at all before October 7th. I have watched it a ton since then. And I found it to be a better source of information than most US domestic media and the rest of this Israeli run media. If you want, you know, or at least another side or another look at these arguments, at these narratives, Al Jazeera is great. And I'll say one more thing about it. You saw that Boeing story erupt last week, probably.
Yeah.
Or at the beginning of this week, right? And there was a leaked video that came out, an expose that aired on Al Jazeera about the lowered production quality in the Boeing plant in South Carolina. And I thought it was really fascinating that whistleblower went to Al Jazeera rather than ABC or NBC or CBS or 60 Minutes. He had to go to Al Jazeera to get that whistleblower report produced.
I'm trying to find it. I thought it was something. I guess, is it Qatar funded, Al Jazeera?
I think it's Qatar. Yeah, it's Qatar funded. Yeah.
I'm probably confusing it with another outlet then or something, but I thought that there was some seed money from the CIA early on in the process or something.
Nothing would surprise me, right? Nothing would surprise me.
I can't find it right now. You know how Google is these days, though. You try to find stuff like that, and you just can't. But I'll just put it there, and maybe it's true, maybe it's not. Maybe I'm misremembering. Maybe it was a different outlet. But this is years and years ago. I remember like, there was something they tried to seed some of their stuff in there or something. Maybe they were not successful. Maybe, you know, what a decent people, you know, actually.
At the very least, it's another side of the argument. Is it a controlled side? Is it a curated side? Probably. But at least it's a different side, and it gives you more information scope. You know, Mark Twain once said, if you don't read the newspaper, or if you don't read the newspaper, you're ignorant. If you do, then you're misinformed. But, you know, you still have to read it, right? And so,
exactly.
You know, at least it gives us the other hand for two-handed clapping, right? Beware of the one-handed clapping of the U.S. media.
That's right. Let me play. So I saw this. Oh, let me bring it in real quick. This is... Someone had a caption to this, why they want TikTok banned. And it's just like a quick summary of the fact that it's so obvious and so basic. It's like, they don't like people be, you know, people don't like seeing kids and women murdered and killed and bombed. And that's really what it comes down to at the end of the day. And they're seeing this now, and they can get access to this because of the internet. You couldn't do this, like, you know, 30 years ago or maybe even 20 years ago at the same capacity that you can now. And so here's a quick little compilation just to give you that little, like, oomph of how powerful that is when you actually get this information out there.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
There it is, right? There's videos like that, and independent journalists, they can get up, whether it's on, you know, Telegram or Twitter or a TikTok maybe. And again, I don't even have, I think 3 accounts were banned or something that I've tried to set up for Red Eyes, and so I'm not even on there. But apparently, you know, it's good for spreading stuff like this. And they're not banning like crazy on behalf of Israel. Am I understanding that correct? Is that what's going on? Do you know?
Well, I'll tell you, I do know that they deleted over 900,000 videos in the month of November that were allegedly promoting Hamas, but there weren't 900,000 videos promoting Hamas. There were 900,000 videos defending Palestine and the Palestinians, right? They just said, well, these were pro-Hamas videos, but that was just in November alone. Over almost 1 million videos in just November. And I've watched some of these accounts on TikTok get censored, nuked, deplatformed. They got rid of the dancing Israeli hashtag. They got rid of the Osama bin Laden letter to America hashtag. They got rid of Israel did 9/11 hashtag. So they have engaged in a massive amount of censorship. But of course, they haven't like completely wiped it, all that content out. That content is still massively, you know, the pro-Palestinian content or the anti-Israel content is still massively outnumbering the pro-Israel content. And they don't like that. But, you know, welcome to reality, folks. You're less than 2% of the world population. You're very unpopular around the world. And we don't need to be puffing your presence online to make it seem like it's this 50-50 even fight. You know, you're a small minority. And it's time that the world reflected that.
Yeah, and I mean, you see videos like that, and it's like it's so obvious. It's so either you're on the, either you are on the moral side or you're not. Either you're evil or you're good. When it, there's no in between here, like the way they bombed these people and stuff, and the way in the wake of this and collective punishment and like all these things, and then. Meanwhile, you know, Israelis, Jews goes out there and like we're the light unto the world, and it's like without us, you'd be
the
lost.
Most moral army. We're the most. They're still saying these things that we're the most moral army, and that all of Palestine is terrorists. Everybody I've seen Israeli media and government officials say that everybody over 4 is a terrorist in Gaza. Yeah. I mean, this is ridiculous. It's outrageous. And now there is this thread of people on the dissident right here in the United States. It's like, who cares? It's just a bunch of brown people. Let them wipe each other out. Well, I'll tell you why it matters. Because the people that are dropping those bombs on those babies and starving 2 million people to death, they're the same people that control our government. They're the same people that are keeping our borders open. They're the same people that are censoring our speech and are trying to cancel TikTok and trying to cancel your favorite social media platforms and censoring you on Twitter. You know, it's the same people. It's the same entities. It's the same power network. So, you know, it ought to matter to you that they're using our government to take our tax dollars, to buy our bombs or have us send them bombs for free and blow these people up, committing a genocide or an ethnic cleansing. At the same time, they're canceling our speech, trying to expose it. So you ought to care about these things. I don't care what color they are.
I thought it was good for the American economy because, you see, the U.S. taxpayer gives them money and then they buy bombs from us. Wasn't that one of the arguments?
You know what else they buy, Henrik? They buy our politicians.
That's right.
A big problem. That's right.
And we pay for that too. Well, I say we because I pay taxes in the U.S. unfortunately as well. So yeah, we pay for that too. Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's triggering to use their word here. House set to vote on bill that could trigger TikTok ban with support. Voila, here it is. Da-da, from major Jewish group. Jewish Federations of North... I don't think I've ever heard of that. Is that another one to add on to the 15 million
groups? Yeah,
it's got
something like 350 different organizations under that umbrella.
Oh my gosh.
By the way, how many pro-white or pro-Christian white groups are there in America?
I mean, there are a few, but when they
a couple?
They rear their heads, they get, you know, banned, censored. They, in some cases, violently attacked when they have, remember that years ago there was like the European American Heritage meeting or something, and a bunch of Antifas came in with hammers and basically, like, you know, hit these old people over the head and stuff like that. Like, that's what happens when you have a, and it was even like not even like a pro-white, you know, kind of like it was just like, oh, European American Heritage, you know.
Yeah, like, that's, but yet there's hundreds or thousands of these Jewish organizations, many of them feeding off our tax dollars, or and or enjoying the benefits of, you know, this, these charity umbrellas, so they're not taxed.
Yeah,
being able to organize themselves and get their agendas pushed in our country and around the world. But we, if we organize, then we're Nazis, we're white supremacists, and we can't have sovereignty or power within our own country.
That's right. That's right. So of course, you know, if, a few moments later, to make the meme, U.S. House overwhelmingly passes TikTok ban bill. There it is. You know what I mean? So what it goes to the to Congress next? Is that what's happening?
It'll
in the
go
process?
To the Senate. It'll
Senate,
go to the Senate.
Senate. Yeah.
And then what will happen is there will be a Senate version of the bill, is typically how these things happen. And then they come together in reconciliation and in conference, rather. And the two sides will hammer out a final bill. If it passes the Senate, then it'll go to that. But if it doesn't pass the Senate, then it's dead.
Okay. Because we, you know, we've seen these ruminations, right, of like, yeah, the Chi-Coms, TikTok, and it's bad. And it's like, yeah. And I mean, I agree. I don't like TikTok. And some of the, I'm not sure that this is true, but there's another layer to the conversation. They were like, apparently, like, TikTok China was like, they were pushing like cooler things or like more wholesome things and, you know, science, technology, and like inspirational things or whatever. While TikTok US, and maybe it's as bad in European countries, I assume it is basically just like a cesspool of insane, yeah, progressive liberalism and anti-white garbage and stuff like that. Again, it's changed then a little bit with October 7th, and you've gotten some information out about, like, you know, Zionism and things like that. But overall, it was like this clear division, apparently, allegedly. Have you heard that as well?
Yes. Well, so the allegation, I've heard both sides of this. Allegedly, TikTok doesn't engage in algorithm manipulation. It's just a mirror back to the culture who uses it. So the Chinese culture is less degenerate than the Western culture. That's one argument. So the reason why there's all this degeneracy on American or European TikTok is because we have a much more degenerate culture than China. So that, but I don't believe that for a second. I don't believe that there is an algorithm manipulation, or that it can't be manipulated. I think that that's ridiculous. These platforms all engage in algorithmic manipulation. And even if China isn't currently engaging in algorithmic manipulation, they have the power to if they want to, and that's a lot of power. So, you know, it turns out it's very interesting here, Henrik, because in the past, for years, I have been an advocate of banning TikTok because I didn't want, not because of the data stupid. See, here's the thing about TikTok. You know, for years they said, oh, our leaders have framed TikTok, the TikTok issue, as one of, they're hoovering our data, they're taking our data, they're spying on us. But they never talked about the social engineering aspects and potential of TikTok. They never talked about that. They never used that as a reason for banning TikTok, which for me is the biggest reason for banning TikTok, because it's a tool of social engineering and chaos creation, right? Like, China, if it wanted to, could use the algorithm to promote certain kinds of content over other kinds of content and engineer society on massive scales unprecedented in human history, right?
Yeah.
But this was not the issue that our elected representatives have ever raised. And I believe the reason they never raised this issue is because all of our domestic social media platforms are also engaging in social engineering. And if they were to raise the issue of TikTok engaging in social engineering, then they would have to face the fact that Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and Reddit and Instagram and all of these platforms are engaging in social media engineering, and they don't want to have that conversation. So they've let that part of it stay quiet. But now with, you know, this genocide that's erupted, and TikTok is just absolutely demolishing the Israeli narratives, and they're overreaching as they typically do. And they're like, you know, we just can't have this. And it's not, and I want to say this too, it's not just about the Israeli war. It is in the short term. In the short term, it's about winning the Israeli war narrative. You know, this narrative that they're the good guys, Palestinians are the bad guys.
Yeah.
They want to win that narrative. But in a larger sense, this is a massive social media platform that they don't control. Mm-hmm. And they don't control it, and it's not making them money. Right. And these people, their power thrives off of controlling the matrix and controlling money and amassing money. So they covet TikTok. They don't have the Jewish power network. Listen, it controls Google. It controls YouTube. It controls Pinterest, even Facebook, Instagram. Okay. This international Jewish mafia, the Zios, if you will, these Jews, they own and run and control these platforms, but they don't own and control TikTok, and they covet it and they want it. Okay. And yeah. And that's for the future. They want to capture the minds of the youth, and they want that money, and they want that narrative control going forward for everything, not just the Israeli war. That's the short-term impetus, but the long-term, they covet that platform. They covet that power and money that they're not getting right now.
Yeah. There's, you know, you're hearing the rumors now, or like the whispers by, you know, election interference. We got to more control. They're talking about the same. Mm-hmm. As bad as X Twitter has been, you know, and it's degraded in many ways, especially after, you know, Musk made those, you know, humiliation rituals down in Israel. He would grovel down there and all that stuff. There's still stuff slipping out there. And there's, you know, they can't, as you said before, it's like, it's so much that they can't keep the lid on all of it at all times. It's basically impossible, it seems like. Which just shows you where the popular support lies. You know, it's on our side. You just look at that ratio that happened with Jake Shields on Ben Shapiro's
That was tweet. A thermonuclear pogrom. That was a pogrom.
A Benicide.
his own tweet. I mean, I think it's about an 18-to-1 ratio at this point. Like, it's about 9-to-1, like, in terms of likes to likes, but Jake has, like, fewer views than Ben. So if you do the math, it's something like an 18-to-1 ratio.
Exactly.
All right,
We know where the popular, you know, where the popularity lies here, which is because it's so easy, right? This is one of those questions that's like anyone who looks at it objectively is like, okay, this is the moral and the right thing to do. You know what I mean? But it's also about where that could go later on. You know what I mean? I mentioned that too. Yeah. People have been on, you know, there's so many other aspects that could fall away from this, as you said, like just exposing the disproportionate control of these people. That's been exposed, right? The fact that their interest is so prominent, the way that they control U.S. politicians through the Israeli lobby, all these Zionist interest groups and stuff like that. All that stuff is starting to come out, which is things that ultimately will benefit us as they weaken, as their popularity degrades. Right. And they might have this power still, and they do have that power, and they're using that power, and it's degrading our society, and we have to... their objectives are being achieved while our civilization is backtracking as a consequence of that. But eventually, they can't keep that up. You can't keep that up. You will be, you will get politicians in place that will not simply stand with you because you wouldn't be elected if you did. Like, there are those kinds of fallouts from this, which is why this is so important.
We're starting to see that. We're starting to see people say things like, 6 weeks ago, I didn't know what AIPAC was, but now I do, and I'm never voting for a politician that takes money from AIPAC.
Yeah.
You know, AIPAC was very under the radar until 5 months ago. Now, like, show me somebody who doesn't know about AIPAC.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, a lot of heads have been blown since October 7th. And again, they're like... Yeah. Genocide, mass murder. Let's ask it. Well, why is this happening? Who's behind it? What's going on? You know, kind of thing. And that just this cascading effect, a domino, like everything's coming apart. So we have this thing about the sale, which is another kind of angle to this then of where this might potentially go, right?
Right.
Because I think it's much about, you know, it's there. I think it's more important to them to use that's there. I don't think they would. What was the term someone used? Parlor it, right? That it goes, oh, was that you? Yeah, it was your tweet, right? Yeah, you said, there you go. Exactly. I saw that. Like parloring it, meaning it just goes into
oblivion.
They'd
rather Israel it than parlor it. Yeah,
exactly. Right? Good.
They want to Israel it and take it for themselves and make the money off it, but then control the speech. That's what they want to do. But I firmly believe they would still rather see it parlored or shut down.
You think so?
You know, I think they'd rather shut it down than have it continue as is if they can't buy it.
If they can't buy it. I think they primarily would want to buy it, right? So now we have these weird things where Mnuchin, the former Treasury Secretary under Trump, is coming in. He's putting together an investment group. Now Rumble has been very good to us, and so far it's been very good, and I'm not sure what's going on with that, but there's like deal money, and it's all these other, you know, kind of, what's going on here?
There's some Jewish power money involved with Rumble now, and they got these new terms of service last summer inserted into the Rumble's terms of service. So I predict, and maybe I'm wrong, but I predict that once Rumble is on firm financial footing and solidly turning profits and has an immutable user base,
then
they'll start turning up the censorship, just like what happened on YouTube.
That's
just like
what
they
I've
do
figured.
At every platform. They wait until it's viable and cash flowing positive, and now they start turning on the censorship. So that's what I think will probably happen. Rumble, hopefully not.
Hopefully not. Exactly.
Hopefully Chris holds the line.
Yeah.
But you know, we have to be savvy. We have to be realistic about these things, and we have to look at the history of these people.
Yeah.
The history, they've done this time and time and time again, is the censorship ultimately comes once they get their hooks into it. Not at first. But later.
Exactly. But then it's also about setting up something that takes time to build an audience. And effectively, then you waste years by putting your eggs in a basket, which eventually will be taken away, essentially. But, you know, again, that's why we're on multiple platforms or whatever.
And I wouldn't discourage anybody from using Rumble, because you have to use something. You have to
go
somewhere.
Of course.
And while they're giving us this outlet and this platform, like, use the heck out of it. Like, exploit it to the max. Absolutely.
Yeah, because you can still do, as the popularity grows with, you still do damage with it the same way you did with YouTube all the way up until they started, you know, banning so many channels, right? So, I agree with you. So we shouldn't be discouraged. But anyway, it's just one of those things. And I saw, I'm not sure if you followed that at all, but this is interesting.
I did see this. And again, notice the ethnicity of Steve Mnuchin.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Usual
suspects.
Right there.
Yep, Jewish money. And the Rumble had this, I forget, it was Amazing Polly who did this kind of analysis of this, and maybe she's not always correct or whatever, but like, she was looking at some of these big mainstream kind of conservative voices and stuff, and the wellness company and Zelenko Labs. Did you see some of those things?
I've seen her graphic. I've been following her research. Does she get everything 100% right? No, probably
maybe not.
But she does document all of her sources, and she shows you how she makes the connections, and she's really trying hard to piece these puzzles together. And they are puzzles, because we lack the insider information behind them. So she's trying her best to sort of piece together what's going on. And so is maybe every allegation she makes right? No. But is she generally, directionally, you know, correct? Yes, I believe she is.
So what I liked about it, too, is that some people actually got back. Here's the graph, actually. And this is just this is a latest version of it, because she was arguing with one person at the time. Well, you're still behind the, you know, or funded by, or getting money from this wellness company, or you're tied to these investors or whatever. But she did strike some people off from there when she spoke to them. And they said, oh, I'm no longer with them or whatever. And she took them off. I don't think Stu Peters is on there anymore. They sent him some letter and said, oh, you're a bad man now, basically, or something like that. But anyway, it's you know, Dennis Prager, you know, Andrew Tate, you know, Loomer, like a lot of these people are on. Daily Wire people are on there, of course, right?
Yep.
And it's kind of interesting. I don't know what it all means yet, but Rumble apparently is like tied into that very well-financed network of valves, right? Here's your right-wing opposition. Like, if you're tired of the wokeness, go to these people and get vent some of your frustration, and then we'll make sure that we don't have any white identity on the back end. You know what I mean? So that's what I feel.
And this is what Jews do. That, you know, listen, power comes from money. So by amassing money and wealth, you gain power. And so what the Jews have done historically is they sell vice to the masses, like pornography. They own and run the pornography industry. You look at China and the opium wars, you know, the Sassoon family sold opium to China, another vice, right? So they sell vice, they make money. But for the people who don't buy vice, they sell virtue.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
So now you have your Daily Wire, you have your Candace Owens, you got your Matt Walsh's, your Michael Knowles, your Jordan Petersons, or you have your platforms like Rumble, perhaps, or Odyssey, also owned by a Jew. Jeremy Kaufman started Odyssey, selling you free speech, right? This virtuous free speech. So they sell you that. So they monetize that. And for the people who don't particularly buy vice or buy virtue, they sell vacuousness, Hollywood, entertainment. Just so they sell you that, right? So they monetize and profitize everything. And we have to be aware of that. So, you know, are they sincere with Rumble? Are they sincere with Odyssey? Well, I don't know, but it is enriching them. It is making them money. But, you know, again, where else can we go? There's Gab. And I do encourage people to use Gab and Telegram and these other platforms. But, you know, we have to go where the eyeballs are, too, and where the battle is as well.
Yeah, exactly. Just get involved. If you're up for it, create another account if you're banned and keep doing it. You know, like that's just how it goes sometimes. Absolutely. Red Pill 3D, I think it is. Yeah, it says, glad to see Sam on your program. Henrik, saw you on Stu's program as well. That's right. I was on with Stu Peters. Talked about the insane South Dakota bill by Noam there. Holy smokes. I mean, she wants to lay the framework for other states to enforce this International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance definition of anti-Semitism, which is like, the first point is like, Superfluous, right? It's is that the word? Redundant.
Yeah, the first point is the only one of the 11 points that's actually anti-Semitism. It's, you know, the
right.
First point is like you hate what you basically you
if you
hate
kill
Jewish
Jews,
people.
Yeah, if you yeah. kill Jews, but that's already like against the law, so you really don't yeah. need it. What does
right,
it matter
yeah.
what your emotions were when you did something or for what reason? Like you did, yeah. you violated the law. Well, that's not so. In a way, that's the most redundant one of them. But then it was just like these crazy like. You know, double
standards. It's a list of 11 points, and they're yeah. all political opinions, or opinions about Israel, or opinions about other groups of people. They're opinions, or political opinions, or ideas, you know. They're not crimes. And people forget that back at the beginning of February, Georgia actually passed a bill enshrining the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism before South Dakota did. And the 38 U.S. states have laws, against boycotting, anti-BDS laws, essentially.
Yeah.
Like you can boycott the United States and speak out against the United States all you want, but you can't boycott Israel, you know, in 38 U.S. states. So it's crazy. And there are fewer than 400 Jews in all of South Dakota. There's more.
I was going to say, I think, you know? I sold to Stu, like, what is it, like 17 Jews in South Dakota?
It's something crazy. And by the way, they don't have any disproportionate power, though, Henry.
No, of
course
not.
They don't have any disproportionate power.
She is completely of her own fruition. I'm not sure what kind of tapes or whatever they have on her, but I looked her up. She's of Norwegian descent. And here's this: what we prayed for Israel, they're God's chosen people. They're special. Imagine just like, and it's not even that she like shitting on her own, but like, she's not even like. What about your people? What about your? What about
yeah,
European
she's Christian.
Americans?
Like, what about Jesus Christ? Don't you pray? Like, you know, if you're Christian, like
Jews.
You believe that the Christians have become, you know, the inheritors of the covenant and the favor of God, and like. What, you know, why it's just it's weird. I don't think we want to get down that road today, but it's just odd. It really shows the disproportionate power and privilege that these people actually have.
Yeah.
They hide behind the shield of victimhood while attacking as the aggressor. And this is a great example of that. They pretend to be a victim
yeah.
while getting special protections and privileges here. Like, what other ethnic group or religious group has the same protections as the Jews under these 11 points of the IHRA anti-Semitism laws, right? Nobody else has those protections.
It exposes the very power that they do hold in order to... So they use the power in order to try to mask that they do own or have or hold power.
Right, exactly.
It's incredible. But yeah, anyway, so I didn't do it with Stuart because it didn't flow that way, but I was thinking about doing the points, but then obviously replacing whether it's Jews or Israelis or something like that with like whites or Europeans or like, you know, standing up for the right to self-determination, I think was one of them or something like that.
Yeah, I have them pulled up right here. I can just read a couple.
Sure, yeah.
Let's read a couple. Accusing the Jews as a people or the Israel as a state of inventing or exaggerating the Holocaust. So if you don't believe in the lampshades and the bars of soap, then, you know, you're anti-Semitic under the IHRA.
Yep.
Denying the Jewish people the right to self-determination by claiming that the existence of the state of Israel is a racist endeavor. So if you think that, you know, what they're doing to the Gazans and Palestinians is racist, well, you're an anti-Semite officially. Drawing comparisons of contemporary Israeli policy to that of the Nazis, also anti-Semitic. Holding Jews collectively responsible for the actions of the state of Israel. Now, never mind that 95% of the world's Jews agree with the state of Israel and believe in the state of Israel and believe that it should exist. 90 to 95% of them believe that, but don't hold them collectively responsible for that.
Yeah.
So, you know, and here's another one, applying double standards by requiring of them a behavior not expected or demand of any other democratic nation, which is exactly the opposite. Nobody else is getting the same privileges as these people.
No.
Right. So it's they who are engaging in double standards, right? So people can go look these up. It's the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance or IHRA anti-Semitism definition. And you can go look those up and see that. It looks like you've got them pulled up right here.
Yeah, there's from the State Department, which adopted that, right? And now they're going to basically see if they can pass that into law. And voila! Yeah. Now you're basically the U.S. is Germany. Now it's Austria. We're getting these laws in Sweden now too, and the other countries already have them, obviously. But
and the social media platforms who say that you can't engage in hate speech or anti-Semitism, like on Twitter.
Right.
These are the guidelines they're now following. So if you've been seeing tweets that flag you for any number of just ridiculous things that used to get you flagged before, it's because they've recently implemented these new terms into their policies.
So you can't, you know, part of this is like you can't collectivize, you know, kind of Jews as a group and stuff like that. No. Like, well, now
although they can collectivize themselves into a group.
When it's beneficial. Yeah, of course. Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. Right. But like, okay, now let's do like the accusations of white privilege then or whatever, you know what I mean? Like right. White supremacy or how whiteness is upholding these structures of power and institutionalized, you know, whatever the hell it is, right? They're collectivizing us all the time. And yes. And we're supposed to be, you know, just like taking this sitting down. And then we, you know, you find out and you complain, you say something about it, you speak up, you expose it, you tell the truth. You tell the truth about what you see, obviously.
But there's hundreds or thousands of Jewish organizations where they collectivize together. Like we're
under that name specifically. Like this is the Jewish group for this or that. Like. Right. It's incredible.
But don't say that they collectivize.
No, of course not. You can't do that. It's insane. Anyway, I didn't even finish the comment here from Red Pill 3D. Sorry about that. He says, glad to see you getting more exposure as well. Much deserved. Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate the support as well. We got one here from Nulong Pork as well. In World War II books from Eisenhower, Churchill, and de Gaulle, totaling over 7,000 pages of writing, there does not exist a single mention of the Holocaust narrative as described by Jews. Interesting. Is that true? I think, yeah, I mean, I know they kind of rolled around later and all that kind of stuff, but yeah, it's like 70s or something, really, when they picked up, as far as I've understood that.
The early 1970s with a book by a guy named Elie Wiesel, I think was his name, and I can't remember what year he came out with this book, but that really started help popularizing the Holocaust narrative. And, you know, and then there was like a couple miniseries in the United States, Winds of War, War and Remembrance. I think there was something else as well. Mm. And then they started putting it into textbooks. And, you know, and then of course, Schindler's List really, I think, was the big crescendo. And since then, they've just, this Holocaust narrative has just really dominated things.
And now it's beginning to fall apart again.
Yeah.
Right, it's like I think we've seen the culmination and the peak of it, and partially that's also because it's like it's been superseded, circumvented by the fact that people are just like we don't care.
Like, well, we have our own issues. Number one, right? Like, who cares? Like, that was 80 years ago. Like, we're not trying to minimize whatever happened. Okay, we're not trying to minimize the deaths of hundreds of thousands of people or millions or whatever you believe about the Holocaust. But how's that relevant to what, you know, policing my speech now in 2024 and the First Amendment in the United States? How does that? Who cares? It's not relevant anymore.
And just like,
they're blowing up babies in Gaza and they don't want me talking about it. So what does the Holocaust have to do with that? You know?
While the borders are wide open, we're being replaced, the economy is crashing, inflation is going up, they're chopping off genitals of little kids. Like there's so many other issues and far worse of things that's happening like right in front of us right now than some lying narrative from 70 years ago.
And Alejandro Mayorkas used it. He was in that committee hearing with Jim Jordan or whoever it was that asked him about, like, hey, are you doing your job on the border? Like, you know, the borders, why aren't you doing your job? And he said, well, I don't like your tone. My grandparents or my parents were Holocaust survivors. And I'm like, what does that have to do with, like, you leaving the border open and not, like, you know, and letting millions of invaders in? What does that have to do with anything?
No, I think that was a threat. You better back off now or else.
I think that was... Everybody needs to look up the gates of Toledo. Who opened the gates of Toledo?
100%,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. And my gosh, it took them 700 years ago to get their country back. Oh, I wonder why they were mad at Muslims and Jews after all of that happened. You know what I mean? And it's like, and furthermore, they were like too lenient. I felt like they shouldn't even have allowed the Converso thing at all. They shouldn't, you know what I mean? Like there's so many issues there, but anyway, that's history now. But absolutely. The point is, my gosh, like 700 years of like tooth and nail fighting back to regain your country. And even the people were almost a different people by then, by the time it was done, you know what I mean? There was Visigothic Spain when that happened. Those are like, you know, Scandinavian settlers pretty much, you know what I mean? Anyway, it's crazy times. We have Avalon88 here too on Odyssey. Take a couple of super chats. Says the Jews that fund the bill that won't pass are the same Jews that are raising money to buy TikTok. I just Jews refusing to pay full price. The cheap bastards. Oh, I see what you're saying. They're trying to like get the what by introducing Bill? I'm not sure. Are they? They had probably an IPO.
They're trying to force them to sell. They're trying to force them to sell it
at a much cheaper price, right?
And that will create a cheaper price, a discount. If
yeah, I think you're right. Okay, interesting. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we have that. We could play that video too. Of the guy talking, it is Bill 860-686, right? Is that the one?
I don't know what number it is. Yeah.
Okay. Wait, anyway, listen to this here, guys.
How we use the internet is about to fundamentally change forever, and it's terrifying. This is Bill S-686, also known as the Restrict Bill. You'll probably know it as the TikTok ban bill, but it does so much more than just that. It actually does more than any bill I think we've ever seen. I encourage everyone to read it by going here and clicking the text tab, but here are the main takeaways. Foreign adversaries can change by definition, but a few are already listed. They are the People's Republic of China, including Hong Kong, Special Administration Region, the Republic of Cuba, the Islamic Republic of Iran, the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, and of course, the Russian Federation and Venezuela under the regime of Nicolas Maduro Moros. I hope I pronounced that correctly, but these definitions can change at any time. The bill covers hardware technology like modems, routers, and home cameras, and virtual tech like VPNs, and basically bans them if they are manufactured by or used to contact and deal with foreign adversaries. Speaking of VPNs, using VPNs to bypass banned apps such as TikTok is made a criminal act under this bill. And the penalty? Uh-huh. It's a minimum imprisonment of 20 years and a minimum fine of $250,000 or $1 million, depending if you knowingly did so to access banned content. The bill gives the federal government the power to monitor any activity used by these suspected devices, virtual or otherwise. Essentially, they can monitor what you are doing at home 24/7 without even informing you. This includes things such as routers, video games, streaming apps, smart thermostats, ring cameras, basically anything that uses the internet. Now, the real terrifying part of all of this, as if that all wasn't terrifying enough, is that the bill goes on to state that this will happen by the president appointing a secretary of communication. That secretary then forms a group on their own without any voter input whatsoever. This group can have meetings behind closed doors. They don't have to disclose anything. They can ban and deem anything inappropriate or a risk to security at any moment in time. And if they do, they can go through your instant messages, your emails, texts, basically anything that uses the internet, and they can censor it. So in summary, this bill can effectively ban anything the government deems inappropriate extremely quickly without warning. The ramifications of this range from breaking up mass communication methods to even watching the cameras in your home, aka spying on you. It really is that bad, and I am not speaking in hyperbole. Please contact your reps. I have a video on my TikTok ban playlist on how to find your representatives and tell them if they vote for this, you will support their opponents in their next primary.
Yep, that's how to do it. Yeah, I mean, wow. I don't know if anything was changed when the House passed it or from that time, because I believe that video is from a little while ago, but regardless.
That's the Senate version of the bill. That's what S means. S means Senate. Okay, the other one is H. That's the House version.
Gotcha. There you go. Yeah. Makes sense. You would know, right? You ran.
I'll tell you what, like that was terrifying stuff right there. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, they Holy would shit. Have absolute power and control over our lives from start to finish. Game over. That's game over type power right there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, everything. Internet will change the way you know it. We'll see what happens and how this progresses here, but it's definitely insane, right? All right, we got a decent amount of people over on X joining us as well. 1.3K over there. So thank you for tuning in, guys. Hope you're enjoying the show. By the way, let's get some super chats in here towards the end of the stream. So I did tally it up. I think we're going to send over... I got to get the calculator out specifically, but something in the range of $600 or so. So we'll send over to Dries after the show.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So thank you, guys. Thank you to the audience out there as well for your support and helping and rally behind it. All these guys who are out there fighting on the front lines. And I've said it before, you know, it's like, it's the wrong word. I'll find a right word at some point. It's not that it's a reward in doing these things, but it's knowing that if you do put yourself out there, if you put yourself in harm's way, you of sorts know that there is a safety network there to help you. And I know that some have fallen through because they have less audiences or they don't reach as many or whatever. And it's not, of course, not intentional. That's just kind of how it goes. There's no, official structure here of how we do this. It's just kind of we make it up as we go of sorts, which is, I guess, one of the problems. But be that as it may, we help what we can and we try to step up and we try to, you know, make sure that these guys are not left on their own devices. There needs to be, in fact, like not a risk in doing these things. There needs to be, in fact, a reward to speak up for these kinds of things. That, you know, these are some of the bravest among us that are taking these hits early on in the process, fighting back. They're putting their real names and faces out there, and they're pushing back. And again, it's just incredible to see so many of you guys stepping up and helping, you know, helping us, helping people like Dries and Laura last week, and Sam, of course. So anyway, thank you guys on that. Okay. Well, yeah, I think we had one more here from, did I miss this? Well, Magic Man in the Sky says, will Red Ice discuss Brigitte Macron's actual gender? Yeah, we'll probably tackle that at some point. I did see the rumors. Wasn't that one of the things Candace was tackling?
Yeah, that's one of the things that Candace was exposing tackling on her podcast last week, yeah.
Interesting. What do you think about the schmooly, tiffy-taff back and forth there? I don't know. I can't make up my
mind.
Well,
I'll tell you, the latest thing that's been crazy is this whole Rabbi Schmooly calling Candace Owens the N-word is just over since yesterday till today. It's erupted all over Twitter.
Is that confirmed?
I don't know, but I saw that it's even in his Wikipedia now. His Wikipedia entry has been edited. It's talking about that there's rumors that he called her the N-word and that she blocked him on Twitter. So, you know, is it true? Is it not true? I don't know. I'm waiting for him to say something. You know, is he going to speak up and, like, you know, say, admit to it? Or is he going to deny it? Is he going to call everybody anti-Semites who was asking about it?
Yes.
You know, what's going to happen, right?
Holy shit. But he's, you know, fine. But he's a character.
There's an element of kosher theater here too, because
right.
That's, he's leaning into this, I think, and he's
yeah. They're turning up the volume of this. Yes,
his sex toy store.
Yeah, it is. You know, it is. He knows
it's driving traffic to his Twitter. Yep. He's getting a lot of ads in his mentions. So, you know, these people, again, they monetize everything. Oh, you hate me? Okay, well, I'll monetize you hating me too. You know, so that's,
well, that's just right? And the attention goes there, and now it's, you know, now we're ending up talking about Rabbi. Did you see Rabbi Shmuley's latest video? You know what I mean? It was like, when it's like, there's more. Yeah. Look, I get that he's, you know, he does a lot of damage and all those kinds of things too, right? But at some point, some of them are just like taking up too much time and your attention of sorts. You know?
Yeah.
He did write that crazy piece, though, for Times of Israel, how Jews must be feared as opposed to loved. You see that one?
I saw that. Holy shit.
Like, okay, buddy. Do you want to go with this?
The guy who was close to Michael Jackson, there's a lot of questions around that. He looks to be perhaps RFK Jr.'s handler. This guy, I want to say, you know, it's just a theory I've been banding about, but, you know, he plays himself off as this blowhard, as this loudmouth, as this degenerate Jew selling sex toys. And I wonder if part of that is, especially the sex toy thing, isn't an act to get us to not take him seriously, when maybe really behind the scenes, he's a cold, calculating killer, you know? and I don't necessarily mean that literally, but like, he's a scheming, devious, cold operator. And he just plays up this, like, you know, schmaltzy sex toy persona, but he's a hardcore hitter in the background.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, he did. I saw your post about that. It was funny. Like, whoa. He wants to financially hurt the Daily Wire? Let's hear him out, guys. Let's see where this goes.
But have you noticed that Ben Shapiro hasn't weighed in on this at all?
Which is odd, right? I mean, because, like, you know, they're like,
lawsuit against Daily Wire, he didn't say anything. He's threatening Candace. He doesn't say anything. So it's kosher. It seems like kosher theater to me, as long as,
right,
you know, Ben Shapiro's not saying anything about it.
Exactly. Yeah, it is a bit odd, to be honest. But all right, well, we'll see how it plays out, I guess. I've got a couple of monthly supporters over on Rumble. Thank you, Enlightened Despot, and Red Pill 3D as well. Thank you for being monthly supporters over there. We got Enlightened Despot with a tenner as well on Rumble for the War Chest. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. North Fork, awesome show, Henrik, and late day happy birthday to Lana. Thank you, North Fork, very much for big support today. Really appreciate it. Resin has been a big support as well. Some of the other guys. All right, so let's. So we have that. I know there's stuff we're missing here, right? So here's the leaked audio. I guess we could just, you know, remind people of this. This is like,
sure.
This is three months ago, something like that.
This was at the beginning of November when this got leaked.
Okay. So check this out, guys. What Jonathan Greenblatt says about TikTok, and also, by the way, the younger generations that we mentioned before.
But I also want to point out that we have a major, major, major generational problem. All the polling I've seen, ADL's polling, ICC's polling, independent polling, suggests this is not a left-right gap, folks. The issue in the United States of support for Israel is not left and right. It is young and old. And the numbers of young people who think that Hamas's, you know, massacre was justified is shockingly and terrifyingly high. And so we really have a TikTok problem, a Gen Z problem, that our community needs to put the same brains that gave us Tagli, the same brains that gave us all these other amazing innovations, need to put our energy toward this, like, fast. Because again, like, we've been chasing this left-right divide. It's the wrong game. The real game is the next generation. And the Hamas and their accomplices, the useful idiots in the West, are falling in line in ways that are terrifying. Lastly, I'll just say, we saw a dramatic change in the language of the activists here in America on October the 8th. The language of groups that we've long tracked, who've long been problematic, like Students for Justice in Palestine and Jewish Voices for Peace, they flipped like this and went to, like, Iranian propaganda. The language I could show you from their toolkits, because our analysts are in their groups. We saw this again on October the 8th. It was that fast. Like, the language in their toolkits was all about the Zionist entity and lots of other language that we recognized from Iranian propaganda.
But this is no. They're just talking to the trip. Was that?
Are you enjoying your toolkit?
Very much. My language toolkit that I got from the Iranian Republic has been very helpful in this case. No, people are not going to Iran to get their talking points. They're just they're just speaking the truth. That's obviously what this is and how this is functioning here. They're just looking at the situation. It's like, oh my God, look at these crazy Zionists and what they're doing. You know what I mean?
Bombing people in tents and killing babies and starving people to death. Please stop.
Please stop. Oh, my God.
It's Iranian talking points.
Look at their toolkits. He mentions Tagli. I just want to mention it real quick here, but like, Taglit as well, Birthright Israel. This is literally like the Jewish breeding program here. This is, I forget which billionaire was behind this, but this is to match up Jews with other Jews from different parts of the world to have them go to Israel. And there's people, we've played clips in the past, of these teenagers and 20-something-ish people who just says it's like some big sex party essentially that they're having in Israel to get their birth rates up, right? Birthright Israel.
Of course it is. Yes. Yeah, of course it is.
So that's pretty crazy, but that's the side issue. So some of the greatest minds has to get to work on this. What do we do about TikTok? And now it seems we're looking at, probably let's devalue it and then buy them out. That's what probably most likely.
Like, we need some innovation. He said, "What's the innovation? It's the same playbook. Shut it down and buy it cheap." What an innovation!
It is crazy. I know. No, so we'll see. We'll see how this pans out here. But again, there's a lot behind it, and it's pretty pressing for them. And they talk about this age problem, of course, as well. Younger generations are turning in this direction. And again, it's not just that it's. They're all leftists, and it's all just non-whites in our countries that are doing this. Obviously, that's contributing to the situation, and that's changing that, which is, pointing out the obvious here is kind of like, isn't that funny now that we have all these Jewish organizations lobbying for open borders, bringing in all these migrants, anti-whitification, essentially, right, of the educational system, talking down how Europeans are evil and colonialist and blah, 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 all these things. Now those have been picked up, and now it's Israel. That's like the white supremacist colonialist power, and all these people in our countries are looking at Israel like they're an extension of that. So essentially the programming that they have helped to lay the foundations of have now come back in like a golem going after them, biting them in the ass.
Yeah, the golem is off the, and that's what the whole the university stuff that happened in the fall and early winter was, these hearings at Harvard. And, these anti-Semitic riots happening on college campuses was an attempt to, rein in that zeitgeist that you're talking about and reestablish the victim narrative for the Jews, because they lost control of the victim narrative. Now the Jews weren't the victim narrative. They were clearly the aggressors bombing this open-air prison, this open-air concentration camp, and stealing land out of the West Bank. They're the aggressors. They're not the victims. So they had to try to reclaim this victimhood status. So that's what, these hearings in the fall at Harvard were, and these DEI hearings, they're trying to reestablish Jews as, no, we are indeed a victim race. That's what the bill in South Dakota is, special privileges and protections for the Jews, for the victim Jews. Their narrative just got out of control, and they got caught on the wrong side of it.
Yep, exactly. It's, and I'm trying to figure out, is it hubris, ineptitude? Are they not that smart? They don't plan out ahead. And what I come down to is just, they just want to ruin things.
They just go too far. You know, if they just were to hold back just a little
bit. Exactly, right? Yeah.
And just feed. You know, yeah. In finance, we have a saying, pigs get fed, hogs get slaughtered. And they can't just stay on the pig side of that equation where we're getting fat, we're getting rich, you're controlling everything, but we're letting the goyim sort of have their fun, have their way, do their thing, and just let them go and make us rich. Yeah. They can't. They go too far. Like, oh, you said something I don't like. We've got to cancel you. Oh, you noticed that we canceled him. We're going to cancel you too. Yeah. You know, and now things just start mushrooming out of control.
Yeah, it is definitely fascinating. And I mean, so they were eyeing this issue, and I don't think I finished that point earlier, but like, the, you know, oh, Chi-Com's, China is bad, China this and that and all those things, right? And then it didn't really, nothing really came of it until this rolled around, right? And, yeah. and how fast the machinery clicked into place. And yeah. I think someone linked up those, not letters, but like, AIPAC, basically, essentially. I think it's in the Israeli lobby, the book, right, by...
Mearsheimer.
Yeah, it's Mearsheimer. Oh, that's right. I'm thinking of another author. I mean, yes, Mearsheimer and the other guy. But anyway, I think they talk about that, how they could have, like, the signatures of, like, I don't know, like 90% of the people in Congress and the
Senate.
You get
70 senators to sign this napkin in the next, like, 48
exactly.
Hours,
yep, that's
hours.
The wording. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Stuff like that.
The former president of AIPAC said that, And to go back to that last point, Gilad Otzman, a famous Jew who used to, I think, be in the IDF, he famously talked about something called pre-traumatic stress disorder, where they manifest a fear that they have, and then through their manifestation of the fear, they bring the fear to pass. So they like, oh, if, you know, the Gentiles might attack us, so we have to like attack them first before they attack us, and so then they attack us, and then it makes us want to attack them. So it's this pre-traumatic stress disorder. They manifest the future that they fear. They bring it to pass.
Yeah. You know, not to complicate things, but you also can, you can do the obvious here, which is kind of like, well, let's look at who helped to install communism in China now. Yeah. And if the Chi-Coms are a problem, what are we really kind of talking about as an issue?
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? I mean, that's just the truth, right? You had all these people like from, I go through it in this video. We just put it up a few days ago, but it goes through all the, I forget some of the names now, but. And someone linked up one thing I didn't have in the video, which was this one. Let me just pull this in real quick, which was fascinating. He became a general, one of the first, presumably only Westerners, Tu Gun Koan. Check this one out here. Tu Gun Koan, the Chinese general who swung the UN vote. And I'm not sure what that is in relation to. I got to read that exactly which vote that was. But it says here, the story of the only Jew, probably the only Westerner to become a general in the Chinese army. And it came out that there were Jews in helping to install, you know, communism in China. They were happy and they're even praising, in hindsight, the Cultural Revolution and the Great Leap Forward, which is like mass murder of millions of Chinese people, by the way. They got, some of them had bigger salaries than Mao did, which is just insane when you think about it, right? But anyway, and there's even a tidbit at the end, and I still don't know if it's true, maybe someone exaggerated, but they said apparently one of Ben Shapiro's ancestors were actually one of the Bolsheviks.
I've heard that. I've heard that. Shapiro.
Yeah.
Shapiro was heavily involved. You know, I don't know. I've never seen anybody like do the genealogical linkage. I've only heard the allegation. They got the same last name, though. So
yeah,
all the Jews, they all seem to be related to each other. So, you know, could be.
I'm not sure if it's true, but anyway, big if true, as they say. Thomas Massey chimed in on this too. The so-called TikTok ban is a Trojan horse. The president will be given the power to ban websites, not just apps. The person breaking the new law is deemed to be the U.S. or offshore internet hosting services or app store, not the foreign adversary. Like, kind of like we saw in the video that we did that. But it's good to see like people like Massey joining in on the 16.6 million views. So this is getting out there, and hopefully this could be just terminated on site. And then we'll see what happens if that's not, you know, if that doesn't happen. Yes, a sale. That's why they have like three options lined up, essentially. Like, if that one doesn't work, we'll go to this one, and then we'll go to plan C and D. You know, that's how they do it.
And they don't want to have to shut it down, but they will. They'll shut it down.
They will if they have to.
Continue as it is.
Yes, they will burn it to the ground. You know what I mean? The Samson option, the internet. Yep.
There it is. You know, they'll JFK it, they'll parlor it, they'll Samson option it. You know, pick your pick. You know, they'll Nakba it, whatever, you know.
Yep. Our favorite boy here, Musk, joined in. This censorship bill is far too broad. It will be abused in the future. Yeah, you think, Musk? You think? Well, it's good that
he's speaking from personal experience because they're doing it to his platform right now. Right?
They are. They are. And I think they've threatened him. They probably have something on him. Who knows? And of course, like we have to mention the obvious here, speaking about Shapiro, right? It's an anti-Semitic conspiracy theory to say Congress banning TikTok for Israel.
I mean, that's literally why they're doing it.
That is why they're doing it.
Talk openly about it. It's crazy. This Gallagher guy who sponsored the bill in Congress is like one of the top recipients of AIPAC money. And he's been pushing this ban for a while. But as to your point, it was not successful until after October 7th. Now there's extra impetus to get this passed.
Yeah, exactly. But things being banned, rather. So I didn't chat here. Saying start to die, restart, says here. Pornhub is banned in Texas now. I saw that. That rabbi must be really upset then. I wonder I wonder if they get 20 years. Was it 10 years in jail for using a VPN then to go around the Texas state IPs assigned? Because it's kind of, I mean, it's good that they're like symbolically that they're doing it. You know what I mean? That's good. But obviously, there's like, all right, there's 50 million other porn websites.
It'll stop some people.
I hope it does. Yeah, I hope it does.
And it creates, I think it creates a social impetus towards. Getting rid of pornography or diminishing it or turning the society negative towards it. Like, you know, it's crazy when you think about it. You can find anything you want on X, like in terms of pornography, practically, you know. Yeah. But you can't. But if you say, you know, I don't think the Holocaust happened exactly how they say, you'll get banned or you'll get throttled. But hey, if you want to have like, you know, open hardcore sex and post that on Twitter, that's fine.
That's exactly, that's fine. I know. Yeah. It's totally insane. Here's that tweet, by the way. Ben Shapiro linked that up, right? It's great that the Chinese Communist Party finally is getting me. Jake Shields here. Ben Shapiro stands against free speech when it helps Israel. 16,000 likes on that
one. And that right there was a nuclear ratio, but it gets better. But it got even better, didn't it?
It did. Exactly. It's just the beginning of it, right? I couldn't even keep up with everything. Midnight Sun says, we're entertaining. Join the stream with rising star Sam Parker, by the way. Absolutely. Thank you. By the way, our Red Eyes friends with the Brother Nathaniel Foundation in Northern Idaho. It takes a lot of guts to do what he does. This is a few years ago. I reached out to him. He said ill health. He didn't want to come on the show. I'm not sure if it was something specific or maybe that was it. I'm not against talking to the guy, but I think he's to the north of us. I'd be interested in getting him on, getting to know him. We'll see if we can make it happen.
I'll pass that along. You know, I actually spoke with Brother Nathaniel today.
Okay, cool.
He's looking to come on a Twitter space with us, with Vincent James and myself.
Okay, cool.
Soon.
All right.
So I'll pass that.
Sure. Yeah, he might be interested or not. Yeah, no, he did like Adam's show and stuff like that. So I figured if he does him, he shouldn't have a problem with me. I'm going lighter than he does on some issues. Anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah.
No long pork, says Rabbi Solomon Friedman, the owner of Pornhub, and the other companies needs a deep dive mention. Yes, exactly. I mean, we've shown the graphs or the screenshots, not screenshots, but like composition images people have done of just how many Jews that are behind all these major pornographic websites out there now. It's just,
you want to talk about banning a platform, Henrik? Why aren't we banning OnlyFans, owned by Greg Lansky?
Yep, I know.
Like a Ukrainian Jew, right?
Yep.
Like, why aren't we banning OnlyFans? Why are we banning TikTok and not OnlyFans,
I know,
right?
I agree. Holy smokes. The way the young girls' sexuality have been like weaponized in this capacity and that this is just now like what you do. I think I talked about it in the No Go Zone yesterday. I did a stream, right? But it was some content creator, her tits are hanging out essentially and all this stuff. She obviously has like, you know, plastic surgery and all these kinds of things. And the content was decent. She was exposing this crazy boomer who thought that like having tattoos is too permanent and dangerous by giving them hormone blockers is totally fine. Like her grandkids, you talk about like insane thing. And it was like great, but it's
that's crazy. Using porn to sell anti-wokeness. That's fascinating.
Right, exactly. I'm mind blown. It was literally like you realize that these like anti-woke commentators are getting in on that slice right now. The hype around that, which is like, look, I get it. It's necessary. Woke is insane, but it doesn't stop there, right? We can't just like go back to like, you know, the 90s or 2000s and think everything's going to be great. It's like, no, all these things have paved the way, right, to where we are now. Right. So we got to go way, way, way back or move forward beyond all this. But anyway, point being, she's there. I look up her name and you realize everything is just like some funnel to her OnlyFans. It's like, right. Oh, look at me, this great video I make. Now see me in the nude, you know, kind of thing. I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is what we've gotten to. Like, this is what it is now.
Say no, fellas. Oh,
say no. Run. Exactly. Say I know. No. Yep. No e-horse.
Yeah.
It's insane. But it's like just what you do. Oh, you don't. Oh, you're not showing your ass on OnlyFans to supplement your income? You know, what's wrong with you, right? That's what we've come to now, essentially. It's a pornographication, right, if that's a word, of our society and of our kids, of teenagers. You know what I mean? Oh,
yeah, that's insane. They monetize everything. Like I said, they sell vice and,
yep. And make you slave to those vices, yeah, by the way, too. Absolutely. That's how they control you, right? All right. We're almost at the, we are beyond the top of the hour here. We didn't really talk about some of the other stuff. What is there anything else you'd like to squeeze in here before we didn't even really talk about the Black Rifle thing, but we can save that for another time. It's been,
we can, you know, I'm glad to come back. You know, yep. I spoke with Samira personally about the dust up she had with Hannah Baron. Mm-hmm. If anybody's curious about what happened there, we did a whole space on it, got thousands of listeners. So go to my profile, Sam Parker Senate. And you can read all about the conspiracy theory between Hannah Baron, Samira Khan, and the Black Rifle Coffee Company. They both responded to me personally and said that there was no agreement between the two of them, the Black Rifle Coffee Company. And after talking to Samira, I believe her. I do, however, have some reservations about Hannah and what happened on her side of the equation. I think that there was, just really quick, this whole thing erupted and it looked like an AstroTurf a viral, right, guerrilla marketing campaign. That's, yeah, what it looked like.
Yeah.
And it turns out that from Samira's side, there wasn't any of that. But from Hannah's side, there may have been. And I would love to talk to her about it. I don't think we're going to get the chance, but she did respond to me and deny any involvement with Black Rifle Coffee. So that was a halfway victory, I thought. So you guys can go find that. There's another post that links at the end of this one. You can follow it for the whole conspiracy theory from start to finish, and it was actually kind of a lot of fun. It was probably a meaningless diversion, but we didn't know that at the time.
because
look at Jews own Black Rifle Coffee Company, and one of them is connected to the CIA, and so people were like, "Hey, is something going on here? Are they trying to curry favor, you know, for the Jews against the Levantines for an invasion into Lebanon?" It was going everywhere. So it's crazy stuff. Anyway, well,
the point is, it's good that you sort those things out. You know, I mean, you follow through on it, and you're like, okay,
we got to the bottom of it. What the hell happened here?
You know, because it's true they do those kinds of things. You know, but well, again, because here now is another commentator you must listen to and have in your feed and whatever.
Exactly. Like, so, she got 200,000 followers in 24 hours, Henry.
Exactly. Just for
followers
that.
In 24 hours.
It might have been an opportunity, like a perfect timing thing and just opportunity. They jumped on it and whatnot. But yeah, you're right. 205,000 followers because of that, right?
And everybody knows her brand, right? Everybody knows Hannah Baron's the catfish girl who's the southern white girl who does outdoorsy stuff. They know her brand. Instantly, overnight, right?
We'll see the OnlyFans catfish nudity only, you know, crossover here.
Right, yeah, something, right? And so, and that just doesn't happen naturally. You don't get 200,000. I don't care that she's got 1.3 million Instagram followers or however many million Facebook followers. Followers are notoriously hard to convert from one platform to another.
Yeah.
And here she converted 200,000 of them in 24 hours onto Twitter. That's just unheard of. It's unheard of.
Yeah.
So, that's the upshot. Samira did something that was on brand for Samira. Hannah Baron's people, likely, we suspect, saw an opportunity and they mobilized a quick on the fly AstroTurf campaign and took advantage of it. And that's what I think happened here.
So, All right. Yeah. Good to hear it. All right. Thank you, Sam, for coming on. I appreciate the hour went by real fast, but I enjoyed it a lot. Yeah, Sam
thanks
Parker.
Thanks for having me. And happy birthday to Lana. And you guys have a great weekend. And thanks for having me on.
You bet. Thank you. We'll talk soon again. Thank you, Sam.
All right, man.
All right. Yep. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining us today. We're going to start wrapping up right there. I have a couple of more closing words here. We're going to be back, of course, with Western Warrior next here. Check out the latest one that we did there, too, by the way. If you missed it, some good stuff on... Well, a lot of different topics. Where are we here? I did a segment on having discipline right at the end. Check that out. right there, latest one. Anyway, head on over to redhousemembers.com and sign up right there. It's only $10 a month. Support us. Make sure that we can continue with this and not only do well, but expand and thrive and do much more. That's what we want to do. We are working on some merch as well right now. So many people of you have asked about that, and we're going to restock the store at some point here as well. So we hope within a couple of months we can have that all sorted out. But that's another great way when that's upcoming, you know, to support us, of course. But yeah, we're keeping an eye on... some people out there that we'd like to bring on as well in terms of helping us to expand and basically give us the ability to do it more, to do more, to do it better, do more of those short videos as well. It's been a while, you know, since Lana made some of her shorter videos. They really went out there and go viral, and there's still that. I mean, on Twitter or X for now, you do breakthroughs sometimes. And some videos get a million views, half a million views and stuff. So that's great. So you still have those opportunities there of like actually reaching new people on some of those platforms as well. So that's the plan. We have a lot of things in the pipeline, things we want to do and come up as well. But we need your assistance. We need your help. We need your resources. We need your support. And that's just kind of how it goes. Without that, we can't really move that much because we're maxed out. We're overworked and we don't have enough time in the day. So we really need help. So it's down to you guys. Please sign up, redicemembers.com. $10 a month, but it's cheaper the longer sub you get as well. But you can also sign up on Odyssey or Subscribestar or our locals, of course, redicetv.locals.com. We are trying to grow our audience over there as well just to get up our tier. We get more space and stuff like that too, so we can upload better quality and we can do longer streams over there. So maybe some of the member stuff that we do, we can actually start, you know, streaming on some of the platforms. So local supporters, Odyssey supporters, and of course those who are over on redassmembers.com can actually tune into members only live streams as well. That's one thing we want to do a little bit more of. All right, so we also have other ways you can support us, which is with a producer or executive producer tier. So I want to shout out at the end of the show. This is a great way of supporting us. Want to get a little bit more, get a little bit more input from you as well, specifically as an executive producer. Any guests you'd like us to bring on or reach out to try to bring on, any specific topics you want to see us cover or things like that as an executive producer, we listen extra to you. That's how it goes. Tell you, get grift a little bit here. Now it's fun though. This is how it is sometimes. But anyway, we appreciate very much everybody who is a producer or executive producer because it helps us tremendously. So with that in mind, thank you to T. Lothrop Stoddard, V. Miller, Resin Revolt, Good Luck Lap, Jake, Red Pill Rundown, French 47, Mark Smith, No One Jeebs, President Ubunga, Mongoose, William Fox, Angry White Soccer Mom, The Second Wanderer, Operation Werewolf. We also have The Ride Never Ends, Dill Bob, Last Place Simp, Joseph Hart, Purple Haze. In addition, we have Rex Ballington, Commie Combo Deal, The Dearborn Toxic Event, Brendan Anthony. We also have Penelope 7 USA, Bertrand Comparet, Dixie Drone Force, and Arctic Wolf. Thank you guys, we appreciate it. Also thanks to our producers, Mr. Walker, 696, Perfect Brute, Johansson, Single Action Army, Leroy Demand, Lord H.P. Lovecraft, Snark Pup, Trevor, Eyes Open, we got Der Schwabe, we have Mr. Lemry, Sonata for Violin, Yuri New, ExposeFlyers.com, and Obadiah Aixwill. Thank you guys, we appreciate it. Again, you can get one of those at redicemembers.com or through Odyssey or Subscribestar. I'm a little bit uncertain if you can get it at locals. I don't think it did. We set up those tiers. I'm a little uncertain, but anyway, plenty of places there for you guys. All right, let me check. So we're caught up here as well. I don't want to miss any of these if you give us any other chats. But again, thank you so much for helping out to give some money to Driz and his legal battle. We appreciate that. I'll do the exact tally here after the show because it was too much trying to keep all the threads together here. But some of the tune of $600 or so. Thank you guys. We're going to send that over to that is give, send, go after the show here as well. So thank you so much for that. And thank you so much to everyone else who supported us today. Thank you to all our producers, executive producers, anyone who super chats, support our show, anyone who gets the word out, shares our links, all that good stuff. We'll be back with Western Warrior next. So tune in for that. So it was some of the best stuff that we do, well-produced, well-edited, all that stuff. So you like what we do. That's really some of the premier content right there as well. All right. Thank you, guys. I really enjoyed the show today. Thank you to everyone who coming on. Thank you to everyone tuning in. Good audience numbers as well today. We'll see you on the next one. Until then, boys and girls, take care, stay safe, keep fighting, and we'll see you in just a little bit.
Thank you for watching. Go to redicemembers.com and sign up for our exclusive members content. Don't miss our latest shows, interviews, and other videos only for subscribers. You can also become a member by signing up at subscribestar.com/redice. Get full access and help support our work. See you on the other side.